of WGNU Radio. This podcast is a production of Broadcasting Company Incorporated and WGNU Radio and is intended solely for the information and entertainment of our listening audience. Any rebroadcast, transcribing, recording, or other use of this material without the expressed written consent of Norman Broadcasting Company Incorporated and WGNU Radio is strictly prohibited. We ask that you govern your calls within the bounds of brevity and good taste. And now, the wake-up call with Liz Brown.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
Is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people.
I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
Welcome to this week's edition of Looking Black, a review of issues that have impacted your life this week and where they may take us next, from differing perspectives. Here's Liz Brown and our guest journalists for this week.
Welcome, welcome to Looking Black. My number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. My name is Liz Brown. Don't forget our shows, the Wake Up Call shows, are archived daily at WhiteRoseSociety.org. They're also iPodded there as well. You need to get to WhiteRoseSociety.org or get to LizBrown.com. That's LizzBrown.com. Don't forget the show is streamed as well at WGNU.net or LizBrown.com. You need to handle your business. Those are my digits. Let's get this done here. It is Looking Black, our guest this morning. Now remember, Looking Black is the opportunity that we take every Friday to talk to a journalist of African descent. Somewhere in the world, all over the world, we bring in journalists, African journalists, to discuss the last week news from an African perspective. Our guest this week on Looking Black is Salim Mwaku, the senior editor at In These Times. He's joining us from Chicago, Illinois. Salim, good morning.
Good morning, Liz. How are you doing?
I'm outstanding. How are you?
Doing well, man.
Very good. So, Salim, what caught your eye this past week? Caught your attention? What got you riled up?
In Chicago, there's been a lot of activity around two particular incidents that are really emblematic of much of what's going on in the country in general.
Mm-hmm.
One of those is there was an attempt to name one block in Chicago on Monroe Street, Chairman Fred Hampton Way, in honor of the late chairman of the Illinois Black Panther Party, who was assassinated literally by police in 1969, and the attempt merely to name a street, which is a practice in Chicago. Community groups bring up heroes in their community, and they have honorary street names accorded to them, and they put them on the streets as supplements to the regular street name.
And so the street name doesn't really change. It's just kind of like it's an add-on.
Right. It's an honorary it's something really that is an attempt to give the community a sense of esteem.
Okay.
And there was a great outroar when one of the aldermen made this proposal for the street name in Chicago, and so that provoked a great discussion about what the Panthers meant. Why is there such a difference of perception between the white community and the black community? The police were outraged that an alderman would deem one of these streets worthy, would consider Fred Hampton worthy of becoming the name of the street. So that went on for a while, and it's still unresolved. I mean, a group of community activists came together near the end of the week and made a kind of a challenge to the rest of the black representatives in the city that they shouldn't back down on this. They should demand that Fred Hampton's name be on the street. So.
And what are we hearing from the black elected officials? Does this take a complete vote of your board, or is this something that is solely an aldermanic indulgence?
Yeah, well, it requires approval by a 50-member city council,
mm-hmm.
and the signing of the mayor and all of that. Normally it's simply something that is. Routine, but because of it's this Hampton issue, it has provoked controversy. So we're waiting to see. Next week, I think they will have the vote on it.
Well, what are we hearing from the elected officials?
The elected officials, the black elected officials, most of them have been very positive toward this. In fact, it was proposed indeed by an elected official, Alderman Madeline Hathcock. They're called aldermen, although they may be women.
Mm-hmm.
She's sticking by. She had no, of course, guy that would be provoked by her action, but she was sticking by her decision. And most of the aldermen, the black aldermen, have joined her in support. There are some who haven't made explicit, statements on it, but still they seem to be leaning in that direction. And then the other issue in Chicago, very similar in terms of how differing perceptions are apparent between the white and black communities, and that is there was Governor Rod Blagojevich named Claudette Marie Muhammad to the Commission for Human Rights and Anti-Discrimination. And he did this in August, but she, what she did is invited members of the commission to Savior's Day, in which Farrakhan, Minister Louis Farrakhan, the leader of the Nation of Islam, and Claudette Marie Muhammad, incidentally, is the chief of protocol for the Nation of Islam. Rod Blagojevich, she also goes by the name Claudette Marie Johnson, and I think that was how she was nominated, and Blagojevich didn't know, he claims that she was that she was chief of protocol. But the point is now that she has been revealed as being the chief of protocol for the Nation of Islam, and after she invited people to come to the Savior's Day convention, and Minister Louis Farrakhan says some rhetorical, he drops some rhetorical bombshells, as he often does.
Well, what did the minister actually say?
Well, he said he was talking about basically how followers of various religions fail in their duty to adequately live up to the ideals of that religion, and he really broke down how each group have these people who fail to do that: Christians, Muslims, and Jews. And then he said there's some Jews who don't even try. And then he said the Hollywood Jews are the ones who bring us these kinds of these perversions and claim that we're homophobic when we criticize them. So and he kind of launched into that rant about Hollywood Jews, and that offended some of the people who were there and heard the sermon, but unfamiliar with Farrakhan's rhetorical flights and the way he uses these kind of florid metaphors to make his point, and how really everybody is susceptible to his withering comments, whether they be Jewish or African American. And in fact, the majority of his comments, his negative comments, really were aimed at African Americans for our failures. But of course, he did say what they said he said about Hollywood Jews, and that is, of course, you know, because people, it offends Jewish sensibilities. It's a way that the right, traditionally in this country, many of the right wing, open anti-Semitic right wing ideologues have tended to denounce Jews by saying exactly that through Hollywood they are trying to corrupt the morals of the society. So his remarks echoed those remarks that have traditionally been uttered by people who are anti-Semitic without question. And so I think just as the Jewish community has to be sensitive to the historical context of Farrakhan, what he represents, and how a lot of people respect him, not because of his comments about Jews, in many ways despite that. But the point is that he's appearing to speak to authority without fear, and that is one of the more attractive qualities of Farrakhan. And I think and for good reason. We have that history of being the victims of a rigid racial hierarchy, and anybody who challenges that is a hero in our eyes for historical reasons. And Farrakhan does that, and so I think people should understand the historical context, but by the same token, I think Farrakhan should be a little bit more sensitive to Jewish sensibilities and make sure he says that his rhetorical flights don't.
But aren't we at a point? It doesn't matter that Minister Farrakhan can say nothing that will not be misinterpreted or that will not be constructed to be said in such a way that the act was an intentional act of assaulting Jewish people. I mean, don't you think that the die has been cast on that?
Well, I think this particular incident is an example of why the die is continuously in the act of being cast. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, the die is never really fully cast. We always have a chance to make it to adjust it into ways that are more accommodating to both of to the people's sensibilities. Mm-hmm. So that it doesn't provoke the kind of tensions
But see, I don't know. As a person of African descent that's on the air every single day, 4 hours a week, with a certain amount of energy and a certain amount of aggressiveness and a certain amount of fearlessness of bringing issues to the table, I will always be interpreted in a certain way, regardless, irrespective of what it is that I say. That energy, I'm accused of saying things that I don't say simply because of the energy that I put out when I do say certain things.
I hear what you're saying. I understand that. I mean, that's real, and there's no doubt about it. And in fact, that's one of the reasons why Farrakhan remains so popular, despite the fact that he's a septuagenarian, despite the fact, you know, he's the oldest of all of really the so-called black leadership class, and yet he's still the most relevant to young people because
that's
he still maintains that kind of defiant posture.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what makes him attractive. And I think, but I think what he does is he uses that, of course. He's a crafty man. He understands human the way human psychology works. He knows that he has to appeal to the bomb throwers, and yet he has to seem to be a reasonable person.
Mm-hmm.
And so he has to craft he has to walk a line, and he does it well. I think that's what he was doing at this particular Savior's Day, is he was throwing some bombs out. He did it also, incidentally, at that Tavis Smiley thing that happened in
Burn it, let it burn.
Right, exactly.
Mm-hmm. And what was interesting was to see, and I guess, and then there's a fabulous, there's been some fabulous comments and commentary about the Tavis Smiley piece, because Tavis Smiley did distance himself from that, and that, I guess that's
sort of Cornel West.
No, Cornel West ran. Okay, Tavis distanced and Cornel ran. So, I mean, both men are taking these positions. You know, here we are with a black agenda, and then when Minister Farrakhan makes a comment like that, which you know, why if you set the fire, why is it my job to put it out? You know,
well, that's true. I mean, you got a point. I mean, but see, in this particular situation with Claudette Muhammad, she's attempting to be considered for this board. I mean, she wants to be considered a voice, a reasonable voice on this board, which includes many various groups.
And what is the job? What's the job again?
It's the Illinois. The actual name of it is the Commission on Discrimination and Hate Crimes, and it's a state commission that goes around and examines incidents and attempts to bring resolution to tensions between various groups, contending groups.
And what is the criticism of her? Why is her membership being drawn into question?
Her membership hadn't been drawn into question until recently when Farrakhan made these remarks. They asked her after those remarks if she would repudiate his charges about Hollywood Jews and
repudiate
Jews
her,
and all of that.
Repudiate her boss?
Repudiate Farrakhan's remark.
Her boss.
Her boss, exactly.
I mean, she was supposed to repudiate her boss's comments.
Exactly, and she refused to do it, and so now they're saying what they're saying is she should resign. But rather than that, what's happening is that five members of the board so far, it's 20 member board, five members of it, five Jewish members have resigned.
How many people of African descent are on this board?
12.
Twelve.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
And so And
is this a paid position?
It's a state position, honorary position.
So you're not getting, they're not getting paid.
Not getting paid.
Okay. Okay. And so where do we stand on this issue?
Well,
has she resigned?
She hasn't resigned. She's standing fast. In fact, she says it's ridiculous that they should ask her to repudiate her boss's remarks.
Mm-hmm. And what is the public sentiment on that? I think it's ridiculous to ask her to repudiate her boss's comments as well. What's the public sentiment on that?
The public sentiment is, of course, breaking down racially.
Mm.
A vast majority of the white respondents in the preliminary polls that have been done on it so far, a vast majority of whites say that she should resign, that really she has no purpose on that particular commission because Farrakhan is such a hateful figure, blah, blah, blah.
And what is interesting is I heard another radio station, a national radio station, describe Minister Farrakhan as racist.
Mm-hmm.
And it was fascinating to me because the same radio station described Senator Trent Lott as racist.
Right.
You
yeah,
know,
I
but
mean.
You
yeah,
know,
yeah,
so it, so it, it's fascinating to me that racist without any context, racist without any connection to any specifics, and a resistance to define any white person as racist.
Indeed. And in fact, even the so-called progressives who talk about the racism mm-hmm. in society are loath to point at any particular racist.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
yeah, you're right. I mean, they use this kind of incident, to really bolster their confidence about being right and not having to reconcile, this legacy of slavery. So, yeah.
And also, don't we have to view this situation, Salim, in the context also of Blagojevich's, he's in the middle of an election, a re-election campaign.
He is between Scylla and Charybdis, as we used to say, or a rock and a hard place, as we say more recently.
And let's talk about, we have to take a break, let's talk about that when we come back.
All right.
I am talking to Salim Mwaku. He is the senior editor at In These Times. He's joining us from Chicago, Illinois. I'm Liz Brown. This is Looking Black. Stay with us.
You're listening to the best of the Wake Up Call. Stick around for more falling traffic and weather. Good morning, St. Louis. 32 minutes after the hour of 6 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. Eastbound 5570 from the Poplar Street Bridge in the 64. Look for slow traffic due to paving operations. Stay to the right at the split off the end of the bridge, and you should be all right at that point in time. Westbound 270 between Old Halls Ferry and Graham Hanley. Look for traffic to be building. Westbound 5570 from 3rd Street into the Poplar Street Bridge. You can expect some delays as it's starting to stack up a bit. Eastbound 70 from Highway K through 79. Look for traffic to be building, but everything's rolling at the speed limit still. Eastbound 40 between Maryville Center and Mason Road. Look for heavy volume already. Northbound 270 from 44 through Doherty Ferry. Look for heavy volume there as well. Westbound 44 from 18th Street into the 12th Street. Look for everything to be running smoothly after that accident's been cleared at the top of the ramp to Gravois. Northbound 55 from 3200 South Broadway into 44. Look for some slowdowns. And then again from Butler Hill through 270, 255 Exchange. Look for some delays there. Eastbound 44. From Soccer Park through 270, look for some slowdowns there as well. Now let's take a look at your forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Friday. For today, look forward to Hot and humid, partly cloudy, high in the upper 90s. The heat index is expected to reach around 104 by this afternoon. This evening, partly cloudy, lows in the upper 70, but the heat index will be around 100 by early this evening. Thursday, partly sunny, 50% chance of showers, highs in the lower 90s. Thursday evening, cooler, mostly cloudy, chance of showers and thunderstorms likely in the evening, and partly cloudy overnight with another chance for showers after midnight, lows in the upper 60s. Then on Friday, partly cloudy skies with a high in the mid-80s. Currently, we've got 75 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 75 degrees as well. Stay tuned for more of the best of the wake-up call. Liz Brown is not in today. She will be in tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. Till then, enjoy more of the best of the wake-up call right here on AM 920 WGNU, your station for the issues that matter most to you.
Are you one of those people who look at somebody who's big-boned and think that's just a euphemism for Twinkie enriched? Are you sick of the idea that we can go to war in Serbia and bomb the crud out of them, but we should stay out of Iraq? If the whole entire pop culture thing, Britney Spears, Super Bowl commercials, and all that stuff gets on your nerves, well, guess what? It gets on mine, too. So if you want someone to listen and understand, listen to me, Brett Rosen, every Tuesday, 10 a.m. on WGNU, 920 a.m.
Connect Care, still connected to the community. Sometimes it seems like things are changing so fast that it's hard to keep up and hard to keep track. At ConnectCare, we want you to know that, yes, there have been some changes, and yes, we are still connected to the community. At ConnectCare, we still have a retail pharmacy open 8 to 5 Monday through Friday. At ConnectCare, we still provide transportation to patients that qualify. At ConnectCare, we still provide access to in-house laboratory services. At ConnectCare, we still provide some of the region's best board-certified doctors. At ConnectCare, we still provide urgent care. And at ConnectCare, we still see patients on a sliding fee scale. Yes, changes have been made at ConnectCare, but we're still connected to you. ConnectCare, still connected to the community.
This is Phil Person of Person Roofing. I'd like to introduce to you one of my customers, Joe Scoggins. Mr. Scoggins, how long ago did we work on your property?
It was approximately 8 to 9 years ago, Mr. Persons.
Okay, have you had any problems with your roof since that time?
Well, actually, about 3 weeks ago, I called you, and there was some water damage that was caused as a result of the storm last fall.
Okay.
And you were out the following day to do the repair work. And it was done in such a professional way that I would recommend you to any and everyone.
So how much did we charge you?
It was free, and it was done within a matter of 3 hours.
All right.
So I called you one day, and you were out the very next day, you and your son and his assistant, and you went up on the roof, and you accomplished the task within a matter of 3 hours.
This is Phil Person of Person Roofing. Our service starts when we complete your roof. Our number is 361-7127. You can call us day or night. 361-7127.
Now we'll hear Ben playing Mozart's violin concerto.
Ben's rendition is awful because he's playing a violin with a banana. But bananas could help you become a better violin player. Eating fruits with potassium and other nutrients help your muscles work better. So when it comes to making music, bananas can be instrumental after all. Run, throw, think, eat better. Can your food do that? Find out at smallstep.gov.
That's smallstep.gov.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Hi, I'm Lorraine Davis, home mortgage consultant with Wells Fargo.
And I'm Jacques Land with the 100 Black Men of Metropolitan St. Louis.
And we're the host of Let's Get Wealthy, investing in more ways than one.
We'll discuss home ownership as a means to build wealth, create positive personal finances, stabilize our neighborhoods, and acquire the American dream.
Tune into our show, Let's Get Wealthy, every Wednesday at 11 a.m. to get some food for thought during your lunch hour. Sponsored by the 100 Black Men of Metropolitan St. Louis, Wells Fargo Housing Foundation, and produced by the Platinum Group.
Tune in every Thursday at noon till 1 p.m. on WGNU 920 on the AM dial. You can talk to Dr. Walker and her guests weekly to discuss health and medical issues. Nurse Wanda always has information that you won't want to miss. Every show is different, and talking to Dr. Walker is always fun. Call 314-454-0400. You can also listen to Dr. Walker's Medical Hour on the Internet. Log on to WGNU.net. Click on Listen Live.
Informative, educational, provocative. This is the award-winning Morning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
We now take you back to the best of the Wake-Up Call. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the top of the hour.
Welcome back to Looking Black. My guest this morning is Salim Waku. He is the senior editor of In These Times. He's joining us from Chicago. Salim, welcome back. We were talking about the proverbial rock and hard place that Blagojevich finds himself in.
Yes. Well, you know, there are many, he's facing an election that's coming up. A Democratic primary. He has a challenger, a Democratic challenger, who's really making hay on this particular issue.
What is the challenger saying that who is the challenger and what is he saying that he would do?
The challenger is Edwin Eisendrath. He's a former alderman and a former administrator with I think HUD. He was the regional director. He is saying that what Blagojevich should do is at least exert leadership. Blagojevich.
What does that mean from his challenger's perspective?
Well, from his perspective, he supports the resignations of these Jewish commissioners. He says that the commission has been crippled, and the only way to and that he understands the political dilemma Blagojevich faces, but he, rather than run away from that dilemma, he should face it. I mean, that's what leadership is. And, I mean, he certainly has a point with that. Blagojevich has been certainly not responding to a flurry of interest in this issue. I mean, in fact, he can't even make a public appearance.
Without it being, I know, I've heard some of the press conferences, and they're relentless on him on this issue. But is his opponent saying that she should denounce and she should step down?
He can't say that, of course, because...
Yeah, so I mean, it's fascinating. That's a fascinating criticism, because he ain't said that either.
No, exactly. he's just saying, you know, that Blagojevich should exert leadership. It's really easy for him to say
it. Yeah, it is.
It's a perfect issue. It really is. I mean, and the Republicans also, who are also in this furious race to be his challenger, also making hay on it.
Mm-hmm.
It's perfect for them, you know,
yes,
because especially in the Democratic primary.
Yep.
I mean, the black community is absolutely essential for anyone to have a chance
of
winning.
Yes, sir.
And they understand that very well.
So,
and the black community is pretty strong on this. You know, they're pretty strong. They think, of course, because Farrakhan has a different meaning for black America than he does for white America.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And they simply can't get that through their heads.
Absolutely. And so the community of African descent is saying, she better stay, you better not ask her to go, and she's not going to denounce anybody.
That's it.
Uh-huh.
That's
yeah,
it.
And Blagojevich is saying, I'll take another question on another issue, on another topic.
Or ducking out completely, which has really been it's like a comedy show in certain.
And this is in also at the same time where he did that insane, ridiculous interview on The Daily Show.
Yeah, he seems to be detached in many ways.
I mean, it's a self-inflicted wound.
It was a self-inflicted wound, as was disappointment,
yes.
To be quite frank about it. I mean, I respect and feel, as many people do, about the Nation of Islam, but it's courting unnecessary controversy. There are other people he could have appointed to the commission who would not have provoked this kind of controversy.
But here's the piece. Either you have to admit that I didn't know who she was, which makes you seem uninformed and detached, as your interview on The Daily Show indicated, or you have to say, I knew who she was, I appointed her because of who she was, and I stand by who she is. Or you need to take the third route and say, I can't believe that her boss said that. She needs to denounce her boss, and she needs to I'm going to unappoint her and force her off of the commission. Those are his three choices.
He's done neither. Let me rephrase that. In fact, he's done the first. He's done the former. He said that he didn't really know who she was, but now that he does know, he's still Mm-hmm. He stands by her regardless.
Mm-hmm. I think that that's the most politically safe thing to take.
It is indeed, and quite politically cowardly, quite frankly.
Mm-hmm.
And it is being revealed to many. And so, even people who support Blagojevich, he's done a lot of good things. And I think at heart he wants to do good things, but he has to be much more resolute.
He has to be
in terms of these kinds.
He has to have a moral compass. He has to have moral character, and he has to decide this is. The fact of the matter is that all voices need to be represented on this. We can't have intolerant voices about anybody or anything, and particularly in the era that we're in right now with world views about Muslim people, now is not the time to say for an organization or our state to say that we don't need these types of voices on a committee that's assessing whether crimes or hate crimes are taking place.
He can argue that very persuasive.
Yes, he could.
He can make
that
a very persuasive
argument. Could. Yes, he could.
Because, what is dialogue about?
That's exactly
it's
right.
To reconcile differing views.
That's exactly right.
And to offset animosity before they become physical.
And I think that one of the things he could also do is he could invite the members to sit down with Minister Farrakhan, which is what I think should have happened before an invitation to an event like this happened. There should have been an invitation for folks to sit down and meet him and talk to him.
Certainly, and they should. And even though, I'm in the process of finishing up a piece now on that. Even though people disagree with Farrakhan, the point is this man was unique in the history of America by pulling as many folk to D.C. as he did. No one has ever done that.
In the history of the world.
In the history of the world, quite frankly.
The history of the world. No one has done that.
If that kind of a credential doesn't implore you to have dialogue
mm-hmm.
with this kind of person, then I don't know what does. There's no credential, I think.
There,
that is stronger than that.
This goes to the heart of the intolerance that is being exhibited all across the world about Muslim people.
And
it really does. This is part of that fury, of that rage directed at Muslim people.
And it was so obvious in this ports deal, this Dubai ports deal.
Yes,
it was almost. It was, again, it would be humorous if it wasn't such a tragic display of Islamophobia. Even on both sides of the aisle in this country, there's no distinction between Democrats and Republicans. They were equally Islamophobic in their reaction. In fact, they were falling over each other trying to be anti-Muslim, more anti-Muslim than the next. Until someone kind of stopped and said, hey, wait a minute, we have to make this appear to be less.
So they pulled back, and I think it's a legitimate question to say, should a foreign government control our ports?
Yeah, that's the issue,
and we have to take a break. I am talking to Salim Mwaku. He is the senior editor in These Times, joining us from Chicago. My number here is 1-877-920-WGNU, 1-877-920-WGNU. I'm Liz Brown. Stay with me.
You're listening to the best of the Wake Up Call right here on AM 920 WGNU.
Appliance needs? Sears, 3425 Union, Black-owned and Black-operated, Jerome Williams. Sears carries the top six appliance brands, Kenmore, Whirlpool, Maytag, GE, Amana, and Frigidaire. Sears also has the latest in electronics, TVs, VCRs, camcorders, and DVD players. Now, if you find a lower price on an identical branded item with the same features currently available at another local retail store, Sears will match that price plus give you 10% of the difference. That's the Sears Price Match Plus policy. So, save yourself a trip. Stop at Sears first and get a low price promise plus a great selection for your home and garden needs. It's all at your local Sears store right there at 3425 Union, Jerome Williams, 389-9700.
Time Life presents the complete Tim CD Classic Soul Ballads Collection. 144 sensual ballads. Luther Vandross, Al Green, Barry White, Aretha Franklin. Just to be close to you. And now, for the first time ever, you can check out the entire 10 CD collection for 30 days for just $9.95. But wait, when you order with your credit card, you'll get free shipping and handling. That's a savings of nearly $13. So order with your credit card, and for just $9.95, you can enjoy all 10 CDs of classic soul ballads in your home. And we'll ship it to you free. If it's not the best collection you've ever heard, send it back and owe nothing more.
Call 1-800-313-6969. That's 1-800-313-6969. 1-800-313-6969.
This is Alan Brainerd. Join me Wednesdays at noon for Design 411 on AM 920 WGNU. No matter where you live, no matter what your lifestyle, you'll find out how to turn your ordinary home into an extraordinary home. My guests and I will give you the 411 on everything from classic design to the newest decorating trends. Join me, Alan Brainerd, for Design 411 every Wednesday at noon on AM 920 WGNU, where we discuss the issues that matter most to you and your home.
People, have you heard about Golden Grocer Natural Market? It's locally owned and operated for over 30 years and serving and meeting your health needs by ensuring the best quality and selection in vitamin supplements and organic groceries. Golden Grocer Natural Market has the largest loose herb selection around. You can also get your grains and natural beauty items as well. Their staff is friendly, knowledgeable, and committed to helping you on your journey to improved and enhanced health. Golden Grocer believes that the healthiest goal is achieving balance in every area of your life. So, live your life like it's golden, and let Golden Grocer help you along the way. Golden Grocer, Natural Market, 335 North Euclid, right there in the Central West End. Open 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., Monday through Saturday, and Sunday 12 to 5. Golden Grocer, 367-0405. That's 367-0405.
Later today on WGNU's Sloan Ranger program, the Sloan Ranger talks with Carl Bernstein, Pulitzer Prize-winning Watergate reporter and author of the best-selling Hillary Clinton biography, A Woman in Charge. Don't miss Carl Bernstein this afternoon at 5:30 on the Sloan Ranger with Lloyd Sloan, only right here on AM 920 WGNU.
Around the world. Stick around for more of the best of the wake-up call. Liz Brown is out today. She'll be back tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. Until then, enjoy these best of the wake-up calls.
Looking Black, the week in review, the week ahead, and differing perspectives with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to Looking Black. My guest African journalist this week is Salim Mwaku. He is the senior editor at In These Times. That's in Chicago, Illinois. Salim, welcome back.
Thank you, Liz.
We were talking about the Dubai decision and,
right.
and what it has revealed on both sides of the aisle in terms of this whole, what did you call it? This
Islamophobia.
It's growing.
In fact, I just saw a poll yesterday.
It's a chilling poll, isn't it?
It really is that Americans are becoming less favorable in their opinion of Islam.
And what's so fascinating is to hear George W. Bush, after this deal went down without any public discussion, without any input from anybody elected, he said that we shouldn't be anti-Arab, but you let the dogs out.
Exactly. He's the one who fanned the flames.
That's right.
That's really their purpose. Everything he's done has been provocative. From the beginning, him calling it a crusade. Oops,
that's right.
I mean, this.
Yeah.
an Israeli ally to be the administrator of the first administrator of Iraq. All of those kinds of things were deliberately provocative.
Well,
and so
who,
now,
you know, who let the dogs out?
Exactly right, and it's really pretty incredible, and of course hypocritical. But I mean, you know, it's redundant to say that the Bush administration is hypocritical because we all know it, and they're flagrant about it.
Shame.
They don't even care about being about being hypocritical these days.
Well,
they know the American people will eat it up.
That's right. It's shameless. It's absolute without shame. I think we would be remiss if we, Salim, if we did not take a few minutes. We have about 5 minutes left here. If we didn't take a few minutes to talk about the Katrina karma. What's going on with Katrina?
Yeah, well, there's all kind of things happening with Katrina. I think one of the more positive aspects is that, of course, it triggered Black America into realizing just how vulnerable we are. And one of the outcomes of that, I think, is this National Black People's Unity Convention that's happening this weekend in Gary, Indiana. It's 34 years after that 72 piece in which thousands of people showed up and really changed the political landscape of this country after that convention. So many Black elected officials were put into office. Whether they made any difference is another question, but they were certainly put into office. And that was the first convention in Indiana. Gary, now they're having another one, that is from the 9th yesterday to the 12th.
Right.
In which they're going to have a lot of people together dealing with economics.
And I've had a number of people that are going to be speaking and that are part of the convention this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm inclined to withhold assessment, because I'm sure you know of blackcommentator.com and Glenn Ford.
Yes.
And one of the things that Glenn Ford has said,
that's an excellent website.
Oh, it's so good. It's so good. One of the things that he has said is that Katrina should be the single uniting thing for people of African descent. This, if we do not gather together on this issue and take this issue to where it needs to be taken, this is the issue. And I appreciate the discussion of economics, but I don't think that we've gotten politics right yet.
Right. Yeah, I hear what you're saying. One of the things that's happening at this convention is a focus on Katrina, using Katrina as kind of a meta focus for the entire thing.
But it's the last day of the conference that they're talking about Katrina. It's on Sunday.
Yeah. Well, but still, there are people who are going who are attempting to infuse it throughout the entire.
I hope so.
I mean,
I hope so.
Many people, Liz, feel as you do that it is the occasion for the third reconstruction, for the real reconstruction of Black America, that if this is not the clarion call,
that's
that
right.
Nothing is the clarion call.
And I think that, and I'm hesitant to really walk away from the political component of it, because when you look at
you mean in terms of like the election
in terms of focusing on the importance of the political component, because when you look at what the Republicans have done, it's been a 30-year journey, it's been a 35, maybe sometimes even a 40-year journey of taking politics and making politics define the world as they want to see it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that there hasn't been that collective use of politics to change the economic world of people of African descent and to change the educational world of people of African descent. I don't think that there has been a collective Black card, as Randall Robinson described in his book Defending the Spirit. There hasn't been a Black political card that all Black people are on the same page. Well, if you're going to want to be elected, you have to support the following issues.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's
one of the things about that Tavis Smiley thing. They had this covenant. Have you read that, incidentally?
I've read the covenant, but Tavis Smiley is more of a marketeur than a.
Yeah.
I
have great skepticism about his commitment and all of that. But what he does do is he brings together some minds who have been thinking about these issues,
mm-hmm.
and that covenant is an attempt to do exactly what you said,
mm-hmm.
to clarify an agenda out of all of this morass of principles and and incidents and issues that are going around in the world, where do we fit in all of that?
And that has to be the last word. Where can people find you?
People can find me at InTheseTimes.com.
InTheseTimes.com.
All of my columns are there. And of course, as we all say these days, just Google me.
There you go. Google you. Thank you so much, Salim Muwaku. Thank you so much for joining us.
You're quite welcome.
And that's
M-U-W-A-K-K-I-L.
Thank you so much. Listen, folks, Liz Brown, I will be
Stick around for more of the best of the wake-up call. Liz Brown will be back tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. live in the studio. Until then, enjoy the best of the wake-up call right here on AM 920 WGNU.
That matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Karen Chase. Senators were up all night as Democrats tried to force a vote on a proposed pullout from Iraq. The White House called it a spectator event. ABC's Vic Ratner is on Capitol Hill.
Just 60 senators showed up for a pre-dawn roll call. A lot of others sleeping in. Republican Jim Bunning calls this a piece of political theater for no good reason. Democrat Mary Landrieu disagrees.
This is not Hollywood. This is the United States Senate. And this is exactly what people in the United States Senate do.
Later this morning at voting time, we'll see if this all-nighter has changed any minds and improved the Democrats' chances of getting the 60 votes they need to pass a troop withdrawal plan. Vic Ratner, ABC News at the Capitol.
McDonald's, Pepsi, and Campbell's are all jumping before being pushed. They're among the 11 major food and beverage companies pledging to limit ads targeting kids under 12, just as the Federal Trade Commission is poised to pressure them into marketing their products more responsibly to fight childhood obesity. An Army-trained sharpshooter accused of killing his wife while she sang at a bar in Cheyenne, Wyoming, was found mortally wounded, and police say he confessed to her murder before he died. ABC's Alex Stone has his story.
David Muniz was found alive in a remote area of Laramie, Wyoming. He had apparently shot himself in the chest. Shortly after police found him, he died. That put an end to concerns police had that he would try to go out in a gun battle with officers. Muniz was highly trained. He had been through survival school in the Army, and he was a sharpshooter. Police say they found a note he wrote admitting he killed his wife. Alex Stone, ABC News.
Atlanta Falcons quarterback Michael Vick has been indicted on federal conspiracy charges in connection with a Virginia dogfighting ring known as Bad News Kennels. He could face 5 years in prison. A Spanish judge pulled the plug on visitation rights for a father seen on TV smiling with his 10-year-old son while running with the bulls in Pamplona. The images angered city officials who fined him $200. This is ABC News.
Carl. Don't panic, but there's a blue thing around your head. It appears to contain a hotel and some sort of savings message.
Oh, yeah. I just booked a last-minute summer vacation on Orbitz. Saved 30% on my hotel. Got a great room, too.
Oh. Yeah. That's what I figured. Can I touch it?
No.
Please.
No.
Book your last-minute vacation to select summer destinations and save up to 30% on your hotel. Book at Orbitz.com and stay a step ahead.
Look, it's vitamin A.
Vitamins and minerals of Centrum Silver, I've got a big announcement. We've been reformulated.
Yeah! I fear change.
Relax, Zinc. Centrum Silver still helps protect the health of people over 50. And now we're better balanced to work together. Like more vitamin C and E to support natural cell repair.
C. E. I love this antioxidant.
New age-adjusted Centrum Silver. Working better together.
From A to Zinc.
A gay firefighter is giving his blessing to the new movie, I Now Pronounce You Chuck and Larry. ABC's David Blaustein explains.
An Adam Sandler comedy about two straight New York City firefighters pretending to be gay to obtain benefits
sounds potentially offensive.
There's 11,000 firefighters in the city of New York, and some of them are gay.
Michael Vizicelli is president of Fire Flag EMS, an organization representing gay firefighters in New York City.
I really think that the movie puts us in the limelight a little bit, and the hard fact is that we are here. We work for the city, and it's the best job in the world.
Vizicelli has seen I Now Pronounce You Chuck and Larry, and admits that there are parts which could be offensive, but says it's in context.
It really is very gay-friendly.
David Blaustein, ABC News.
A Washington, D.C. man who bought a brand-new Hummer apparently angered some of his eco-friendly neighbors. After just 5 days in his driveway, two masked men were seen taking a baseball bat to the windows, knifing the tires, and scratching a message into the body. For the environ, it read. I'm Karen Chase, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU newsroom.
And with this hour's WGNU local report, I'm Peyton Colston. In the news, attorneys for Ameren UE, consumers, and the state of Missouri are heading to court. The three parties have each asked the Cole County Circuit Court to review a $43 million rate increase granted in May by the Missouri Public Service Commission. Ameren had sought a $361 million increase and says the smaller amount is not sufficient and is below the average rate other utilities have received. It's expected to ask the court to grant a higher rate increase. The Office of Public Counsel, which represents consumers, and the Office of Attorney General Jay Nixon both contend that not only should the increase not have been granted, but Ameren should be forced to cut its rates. In other news, a recent survey says O'Fallon, Missouri is tied with two other communities for having the highest percentage of married residents in the United States. WGNU's Rich LaCroix has more.
The survey, commissioned by the New York Times and conducted by SocialExplorer.com, found that approximately 69% of O'Fallon's 74,000 residents over the age of 15 are married. That's tied with Weston, Florida, and Surprise, Arizona, out of 499 cities with a population of at least 65,000 people. Meanwhile, St. Louis placed at 400 with less than 31% of its populace married.
That's WGNU's Rich LaCroix, and I'm Peyton Colston for AM 920 WGNU News.
Good morning, St. Louis. 6 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU, I'm Howard Morton. Let's take a quick look at this hour's traffic and weather. Heavy volume on 44 eastbound from Soccer Park through 270, westbound 270 from Old Halls Ferry into Graham Hanley. Look for slow traffic there. Westbound 5570 from 3rd Street into the Poplar Street Bridge. You've got slow traffic, especially in the left lanes. Eastbound 70 from K through 79. Look for slowdowns as well. Northbound 270 at Gravelway through Doherty Ferry. Look for delays. Then again around the 70 exchange, you can expect some slowdowns as you try to hit those ramps. Eastbound 5570 from Poplar Street Bridge through 64. Look for paving operations going on as well, and it's going to cause some delays. Stay to the right at the split off the east of the end of the bridge, and you should be okay. Eastbound 40 between Maryville Center and Mason Road. Look for heavy volume going on there. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the Illinois Bank into the landing. Look for some slowdowns. And northbound Route 3, that approach from Monsanto into the Poplar Street Bridge. Look for delays as well. That is a look at your traffic. Now let's take a look at your forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Friday. For today, hot and humid, partly cloudy, highs in the upper 90s. Heat index will be around 104 by this afternoon. This evening, partly cloudy, lows in the upper 70s. Heat index will be around 100 still by this evening. For Thursday, partly sunny, 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms Thursday evening. Cooler, mostly cloudy, showers and thunderstorms likely in the evening, then partly cloudy with a chance of showers after midnight. The lows should be in the upper 60s. Then on Friday, partly cloudy skies with a high in the mid-80s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 77 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting the same. Stay tuned for more of the best of the wake-up call. Liz Brown is off today. She will be back tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. We're going to bring you the best of St. Louis Schools Watch with Peter Downs and Liz Brown. That's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU, your station for the issues that matter most to you.
I'm hearing revolution in the air.
This is St. Louis Schools Watch with Peter Downs, a weekly in-depth look at developments affecting the education of our children.
Welcome, welcome to St. Louis Schools Watch. I am here. This is Liz Brown, and I am here with Peter Downs. Peter, good morning.
Good morning, Liz.
And I am so sorry about the election results. That's that the St. Louis Public Schools have really lost and lost big.
Oh, thank you. I think it's much bigger than my not losing.
Talk to us about that.
This, you know, the result of this election, just taking people at face value for how they ran, the result of this election is that Slay and Shamel won. And they have tighter control of the board. And any restriction on what they were able to do before, because they couldn't count on
they didn't
more
have
than
core.
Four people,
mm-hmm.
Now they have five. They can change the bylaws. They can change policy. They can quiet anybody who objects to them. They can just shut off debate. They have free hand now.
And I want to talk about, because I think that this is something that I am going to make a big deal of for a good time, for a good long time, until our next election cycle. I want to talk about how things, what happened in the wards. The support that you got, the support that was promised to you, and the support that was not delivered. And I want to focus primarily, right now at least, on the North Side wards. Talk to us about the what was told to you in terms of what the support was going to be.
Okay, there were, a couple weeks ago, there was a meeting of Black elected officials, committee men and committee women from across the North Side,
mm-hmm.
interviewing candidates, supposedly to settle on a joint endorsement of mm-hmm. three candidates. And they did. I mean, officially this group settled on.
And who were the people that attended the meeting, if you remember?
There was let's see, from the, there was Yafet Elamine from the first ward, Maddie Moore from the second, Johnny Sadler and Lucinda Frazier from the third, Norma Leggett from the fourth, Cheryl Nelson and Ron Hubbard from the fifth. I'm going to jump up some numbers there.
The 21st?
The 21st ward did not attend.
Okay, the 22nd
ward? The 22nd ward did not attend.
27th ward?
Curtis Royston and Connie Johnson from the 27th.
What about the 7th?
And
the 17th?
Joe Palm from the 26th.
Okay.
No one from the 19th.
Okay, and how about the 17th ward? Terry Kennedy's ward?
I'm sorry, it's the 18th ward.
18th ward.
No one from the 18th ward.
Okay, and Abra Ford Griffin's ward?
It's the 5th ward.
5th ward, that's Rodney and what's her name? All of the candidates were there?
All the candidates went there. They were brought in one by one, questioned. And afterwards, Fed Elamine and Curtis Royston said, you know, most of the group was going with Veronica O'Brien, Bill Purdy, and Peter Downs. The one that they said there was a question on was Norma Leggett from the 4th, who said she had to go with Flint Fowler, Flint's her nephew, but she was going to go with two of the others, and she wasn't sure who. Now, I had previously talked to Norma at her house, had sat in her living room, and she had pledged to support me.
To your face?
To my face.
Mm-hmm.
As it turned out, she did not.
Mm-hmm.
So the 4th ward put out ballots for Fowler, O'Brien, and Purdy.
Okay.
Of those who were there at that meeting and said, yes, we're in this, we're part of this unified caucus supporting O'Brien, Purdy, and Downs, the 5th ward, after saying that, I'm sorry, Ron Hubbard and Cheryl Nelson, after saying that.
They said that to your face.
Ron Hubbard said that to my face. I saw him in the parking lot. He said, yes. And I saw him after that meeting, and he said, yes, we're going with the three of you. He shook my hand and said, we got you covered. You know, we're going with you.
Okay.
And then come election day, they didn't. They put Flint Fowler on the ballot.
And with regard to the 26th ward.
The 26th ward, at the time, again, they said they were going with O'Brien, Purdy, and Downs. And it was Joe Palm, the committeeman, who had been taking part in that meeting of the different committeemen and committeewomen. Pat Moss hadn't been there. She's an official in the teachers' union, which endorsed O'Brien, Purdy, and Downs. And she kept telling the head of the teachers' campaign committee, said, you know, I'm going with O'Brien, Purdy, and Downs. Then we started hearing stories with Joe Palm saying, well, I'm with them, but Pat Moss isn't with them. And Pat Moss with them, but Joe Palm isn't with them.
So Joe Palm began to play that political three-card Monty piece of it's not me, it's somebody else, I'm with you, trying to hide the ball in terms of who it is that they're really supporting.
Right.
And if we look at Joe Palm, and if we look at Pat Moss and we look at the Slay supporters, I think that it's fairly consistent that every single black person that said that they would that nearly every single black person who said that they would support you all had supported Slay. We look at the 26th ward. Joe Palm, after talking to Irene J. Smith and saying that he understood and that nobody could tell him what to do and blah blah this and blah blah that, ended up putting out a ballot for Francis Slay. When we look at the 22nd ward, the same thing. They supported Francis Slay. When you look at the what was interesting was what happened in the first ward. You were on the ballot in the first ward, but there weren't any signs or anything that were put out at any of the polling places for you.
That's correct.
So, Peter, talk to us about
I want to say a little more about the 26th ward.
Okay.
They were a little more extreme than the others.
Okay.
You know, some of these people kept kind of, O'Brien and Purdy on the ballot and just dropped me for Fowler. But in the 26th ward, they ended up without any poll workers for any of the three they said they would support. Instead, the poll workers in the 26th ward had Slay's ballot.
Mm-hmm.
They were doing straight Slay. and they had I don't know who hired them, but those were the only poll workers there in the 26th ward.
And that's basically Lacey Clay stuff. That is that's Lacey Clay stuff. That is Joe Palm and Pat Moss, which to me is absolutely it's foul beyond obscene for a teacher to understand, a person in the school district to understand all of the rape and the pillage that has gone on in the school district and still to deliver the heads of the St. Louis public school children up on a platter to those that hate them is just foul beyond obscene. It really is. It just shows the depths, and it shows the depravity, and it shows the absolute mandate that these people need to be swept out of office. They absolutely are just, they are parasites on the community. You're a teacher. How can a teacher support this slate?
Well, the teachers, probably more than anyone else, had to understand that they had, you know, the seats that were up were three people who were at least sometimes critical, at mm-hmm. least sometimes in opposition mm-hmm. to shame on Slate what they wanted to do. So if they filled any of those three with anybody who's on Slate and shame on Slate, they were making the hand of the destroyer stronger.
Exactly. Exactly. And for people like Joe Palm and for people like Rodney Hubbard, as a person of African descent, I've listened to Joe Palm and I've listened to Rodney Hubbard talk about their concern about their community. But actually what they do is, what I have seen them do and what the impact and the effect of their decisions are, is to use their community as currency to gain additional favor and curry with it. Joe Palm trying to hold on to his little committeemanship. Rodney Hubbard trying to hook up all kinds of deals for himself individually and create a career within the area of politics. I was talking to a friend of mine yesterday about the bill that Rodney Hubbard and Ted Hoskins introduced, the Betty Thompson mm-hmm. scholarship bill. And once again, we have people playing on the sympathies and the concern, the legitimate concern that people have about our school district, and currying favor, using that concern to curry favor for interests that are outside of everybody who cares about children.
Yeah, I call that bill the Con Artist Appreciation Act, because there's nothing in that bill. Let's just say you agree, all right, people ought to have this money for choice, but you have all of these guidelines that public schools have to meet right. for performance. And in that bill, there's nothing anybody has to meet to get that money.
Nothing.
They're a private school. They don't have to have any qualified teachers. They don't have to. They can shove 50 kids in a broom closet and let them sit there all day and still collect that money.
Absolutely, and still continue to get that money year after year after year. They could say, you know what, black kids, you're put in this classroom because you're dumb. White kids, you're put in this classroom because you're smart. They would continue to get that money.
They would continue to get that money.
You know, they could say that girls, we're not going to teach you math because you don't get it. And boys, we're going to teach you everything because we know that you will get it. And they would continue to get that money.
Yes, they would.
They could go to a school that said religious school that taught that Muslim people need to be shot, killed, and hung. And they could continue to still get that money.
Yes, there's no restrictions whatsoever. No requirements or qualifications or performance whatsoever.
So all this is, and then, again, just the deviousness of it is to put a black legislator's name on it, the Betty Thompson Scholarship Bill, when this has nothing to do with any advantage for people of African descent. Nothing.
Nothing to do with advantage for anybody except people going to collect that money.
And all of the schools that will now be made stronger. And one of the things, I can't prove this, but it's a theory of mine that one of the advocacies that were made by, that was made, a position that was taken by Francis Lay, a promise that was made to the parochial schools, was that you will have money coming. Just hang tight. You'll have money coming because we're going to get these bills out here so that we now can have, parents can now get money to send their kids to your schools. And the money's coming with these bills.
Yeah, we see it's of a piece with everything they've done the last 2 years, which is really to destroy the option of public schools. I wanted to add something on another ward, though, because the committee woman for the 22nd ward did not take part in that meeting of Northside officials.
This is Gail
Ozier and Faye Davis. Both of them had talked to me several times and personally told me that they were supporting me. I've known both of them for decades, supported them in their union activism and everything.
So they know you personally.
So they know me personally. Jay Ozier told me several times that he was supporting me. And then out come election day, and he doesn't have me on his ballot. He has Flint Fowler instead.
And what did Jay say to you? Because you were at the polling place.
Yeah, I went around different polling places and ran into Jay at the Ford School polling place. And as I came up to him, Jay said to people, I said, oh, this guy's going to kill me. And I said, well, yeah, you promised to support me and then turn around and do something else. And he said, I know. He said, but I had to do it because Veronica was our number one priority.
And why would that be? Why would that be? I mean, it is fascinating to me. It is absolutely fascinating to me to look at the decisions that people have made. When we look at, okay, it's just mind-blowing. You have the record of individuals. You have the proven commitment of individuals. And Jay Ozier is no stranger to endorsing white people. So this is not the time for Jay Ozier to go black on us in terms of, I got to support the black candidate, because you sure didn't do it in the last election for mayor. So this isn't a person that can say, it's all about my community and I'm going to support a black person because I live on the north side and my constituents are black people and I'm going to support a black person. Jay Ozier has had no problem holding on to white folks that have done harm to their community. So what's up with the selection of holding on to this particular candidate? We have a person that supported Francis Slay, and now we have a person to say that Veronica O'Brien is their number one priority. How could that be? Why would that be?
Well, all I can say on that, I mean, Jay has to answer for himself. All I can say on that is he can, supporting me. Veronica and I weren't running against each other. There's no conflict in supporting me and supporting Veronica, right?
That's the $24 million question. That's the $6 million Roberti question. Is there a conflict between supporting you and Veronica? Clearly, there was a conflict in supporting you and Veronica, because all of the people that made the decision not to adhere to their assurances and promises to you, all of them supported Veronica, with the exception of the 26.
Yes.
All
with the exception of the 26, they all did.
454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. We're going to take a break, folks. This is Liz Brown, St. Louis Public Schools Watch. We have much, much, much to talk about. Stay with us.
You're listening to the best of the wake-up call. This is a rebroadcast of St. Louis Public Schools Watch from 2005. So enjoy more of the best of the wake-up call following traffic, weather, and these commercials. Good morning, St. Louis. 29 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. Let's take a look at this hour's traffic and your weather. Eastbound 44 from Soccer Park through 270. Look for heavy volume there. Westbound 270 from Old Halls Ferry into Graham Hanley. Look for delays. Westbound 5570 from 3rd Street into the Poplar Street Bridge. You've got slow traffic, especially in the left lanes. Eastbound 70 from K through 79. Look for some slowdowns. Northbound 270 from Gravois through Doherty Ferry. Look for slow traffic. Eastbound 5570 from Poplar Street Bridge into the 64 Exchange. Look for paving operations having a lot of heavy volume going on there. Stay in the right lane at the split off the east end of the bridge and you should be okay, but expect some delays. Eastbound 40 from Maryville Center through Mason Road, you've got heavy volume there. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the Illinois Bank into the landing. Look for traffic to be building. Northbound Illinois Route 3 onto the bridge. Look for some delays. Northbound 270 at 70 all the way back through Dorset. Look for heavy volume in the 70 exit lanes as you approach that exit. Eastbound 70 from 270 through St. Charles Rock Road. As a result, you've got some heavy volume there as well. Southbound 270 from 70 through Dorset. Look for delays. That is a look at your traffic. Now let's take a look at your forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Friday. For today, look forward to hot and humid, partly cloudy, highs in the upper 90s. Heat index will be around 104 by this afternoon. This evening, partly cloudy, lows in the upper 70s. The heat index will still be around 100 by this evening. For Thursday, partly sunny, 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms. Thursday evening, cooler, mostly cloudy, chance of showers throughout the day and overnight hours with a low in the upper 60s. And on Friday, partly cloudy, highs in the mid-80s. Currently, we've got 76 degrees under cloudy skies. Lambert Field has 78. Stay tuned for more of the best of the wake-up call. Liz Brown and Peter Downs from 2005. St. Louis Schools Watch. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the top of the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU, your station for the issues that matter most to you.
People, have you heard about Golden Grocer Natural Market? It's locally owned and operated for over 30 years and serving and meeting your health needs by ensuring the best quality and selection in vitamin supplements and organic groceries. Golden Grocer Natural Market has the largest loose herb selection around. You can also get your grains and natural beauty items as well. Their staff is friendly, knowledgeable, and committed to helping you on your journey to improved and enhanced health. Golden Grocer believes that the healthiest goal is achieving balance in every area of your life. So, live your life like it's golden, and let Golden Grocer help you along the way. Golden Grocer, Natural Market, 335 North Euclid, right there in the Central West End. Open 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., Monday through Saturday, and Sunday 12 to 5. Golden Grocer, 367-0405. That's 367-0405.
Are you an inventor, or do you know an inventor who would like to attempt to have an invention or idea patented and submitted to industry? Well, for free information on how to proceed, call this toll-free number.
Call 800-346-9966.
InventHelp, one of America's largest invention companies, has inventor information you can have for free. Record your invention's date of origination, plus get an information brochure and other materials of interest to new inventors. Learn how to get this free information just by calling this toll-free number.
Call 800-346-9966. That's 1-800-346-9966.
Even if you have an idea for improving an existing product and don't know where to go with it, you'll want this free inventor's information. It shows how InventHelp may assist you in trying to patent your invention and submit it to industry. So call InventHelp right now, toll free.
Call 800-346-9966. That's 1-800-346-9966.
Attention, attention, calling all current and retired employees of the St. Louis Public School System. Come on out this Saturday, July 21st at 9:30 a.m., where? At the Firefighters Institute of Racial Equality, 1020 North Taylor Avenue. Why? Because you need to get information to help you protect your pension. Ask yourself this question. Has the pension fund experienced a loss of $67 million this year? That's $67 million. Is the investment fund committee looking out for your interest? How about this? Are you receiving notice of when the investment fund committee meets? Look, as a vested member of the St. Louis Public School Pension Funds, you need to find out what are your rights. So come on out this Saturday at 9:30 a.m., 1020 North Taylor, at the Firefighters Institute of Racial Equality. Come out, get information to help you protect your pension. This is sponsored by the International Urban Institute.
Connect Care, still connected to the community. Sometimes it seems like things are changing so fast that it's hard to keep up and hard to keep track. At Connect Care, we want you to know that, yes, there have been some changes, and yes, we are still connected to the community. At Connect Care, we still have a retail pharmacy open 8 to 5 Monday through Friday. At Connect Care, we still provide transportation to patients that qualify. At Connect Care, we still provide access to in-house laboratory services. At Connect Care, we still provide some of the region's best board-certified doctors. At Connect Care, we still provide urgent care. And at Connect Care, we still see patients on a sliding fee scale. Yes, changes have been made at Connect Care, but we're still connected to you. Connect Care, still connected to the community. Later today on WGNU's Sloan Ranger program, the Sloan Ranger talks with Carl Bernstein, Pulitzer Prize-winning Watergate reporter and author of the best-selling Hillary Clinton biography, A Woman in Charge. Don't miss Carl Bernstein this afternoon at 5:30 on the Sloan Ranger with Lloyd Sloan. Only right here on AM 920 WGNU.
For those that should be heard, this is the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown. This is the St. Louis City Schools Watch with Peter Downs, a weekly feature of the award-winning wake-up call.
We now take you back to the best of the wake-up call. This is from 2005 with Peter Downs and Liz Brown.
St. Louis City Schools Watch with Peter Downs, a weekly feature of the award-winning wake-up call.
Welcome back to the wake-up call. And I'm here with Peter Downs. This is St. Louis Public Schools Watch. And we're going to talk about the St. Louis Public Schools, but I want to thank you for the update on the what happened at the polling places. And I just want to add this piece of information as just a kind of an update on what's going on politically all over the city of St. Louis. It's a fascinating time that we live in locally. We have people like Tom Bauer, the alderperson, facing a recall election. We have Jeffrey Boyd facing at the 22nd Ward. There were petitions there to recall Jeffrey Boyd. I suspect very strongly in 6 months that we will see a recall effort to unelect or to remove Freeman Bosley Sr. from his position as well.
Peggy Ryan
and Peggy Ryan just got recalled. And we're going to have a race with O.L. Shelton in that race as well. I think that there's kind of like a recall mania going on in the city of St. Louis, and what people are seeing is that if you're not doing right by your constituents, you can be removed from office. And I think that kind of, while I don't always agree with every person that has been pursued, I think that's a fabulous tool for people on a local level, given particularly what has happened with the school board. Since we can't unelect them at this point, we certainly can address some of the people that have brought them to us. So let's move on to some of the other issues in the St. Louis Public
Schools. All right. There's a big issue right now with special education. Throughout the month of April, the administrators downtown are holding what they're calling listening sessions with teachers and principals about moving special ed kids into regular classrooms. There's some dispute as to the reason why. The administration is claiming that DESE is making them doing it. The former director of special education, Leslie Lewis, who was fired in December for telling the truth to Desi, basically says that's ridiculous. Desi cannot make you move kids into the regular classroom because the services the kids have is determined by their individual education plans.
Well, if that were true, Peter, then I guess we should be looking forward towards the dismantling of the special school district in this county of St. Louis, because all of those kids will now be mainstreamed into the other classrooms, right? Because DESE also rules them as well, right?
That they do, yes.
So that is an absolutely absurd claim.
Yes.
Why would DESE do that?
I mean, they wouldn't. They wouldn't. That's just it. The plan is to move the kids, like other things we've seen, the plan is to move the kids first and train the teachers later. If they're going to move the kids in September, and over the course of the year, the teachers will be trained how to deal with them.
This is just heartbreaking. It is just heartbreaking. And you know a couple of special stories about some of the parents and their children and the things that they receive as special needs children. You know, these are real people, these are real children, these are real concerns, and there's no real reason for this to be done.
There's no educational reason, there's no reason that values children for doing it. The reason the district is doing it is you know, forget about what they're saying about DESE. It's the same thing they've been saying for the last 2 years. Oh, we don't want to spend all this money on these kids.
And the other piece of this too, Peter, is that there is constant, legitimate criticism directed at the school board for what they're not doing for special needs children. So the best way to get rid of the evidence, this is their way of hiding the evidence of their wrongdoing towards special needs children, is to mix them all up in the classroom, and that way they can't be really held accountable for what's happening to them.
Right. Now, I want to point out Leslie Lewis, the former director of special ed, has volunteered to help any parent who does not want their child put into a regular classroom.
Okay.
And she says something she stressed to me in a letter is that under the law, the district cannot move a child from a specialized classroom into a regular classroom without the parent's agreement. The parent can stop, but the law requires that the parent agree. If the parent disagrees, they can file a complaint, which automatically is supposed to put the move on hold. Until the complaint has gone through a due process procedure, the district cannot move the child.
So let me ask you this, Peter, in terms of what can be done. We have special ed teachers, right?
Yes.
With classrooms full of special ed children, special needs children. A teacher, a special ed teacher who is really concerned about her students or his students, could contact the parents and could tell the parents that piece of information.
Yes.
And that's really something that they should be doing, because what's going to happen to the special ed teachers? Are they all going to be fired? There's no need for them individually anymore, is there?
They're already moving to that. I don't know the exact word they used for it, but they essentially fired all of the special ed supervisors and all the special ed coordinators and said you could reapply for your jobs. Only three have been rehired.
Oh, for Christ's sake. So.
Now, I want to give before we get too far, since we're talking about Leslie Lewis, I want to give out her email address, because she said parents can she'll work with any parent who needs help filing a complaint.
Well, I would venture to say, Peter, that a lot of the parents don't have email access.
Okay.
So please, if there's another way that we can get to her, because most people don't have email access. But let's give out her
email. I'll give it out, and I will bring. I didn't bring it with me today. Her phone number. I'll bring in her phone number
very
next
good,
week.
Very
All
good.
Right. Her it's Leslie Lewis. And our email address is lsreep@sbcglobal.net.
And do that one more time.
Leslie Lewis, LSREEP, at sbcglobal.net.
And anybody that didn't get that email address, I'm going to give it to Howard, and you can call in here at 454-6660, 454-6660, and get that email address.
And now she emphasized that it doesn't have to be a parent to file a complaint. Mm-hmm. To go through the actual due process hearing, the parent has to be, you need something from the parent there. But to file the initial complaint, anyone can file the complaint.
Anyone?
It can be the teacher. It can be a child care worker.
It could be me.
Anyone who has knowledge of the child.
Wow. Wow. So all of you out there that know of special needs children, special children that are in special ed classes, you all really need to get that number and make the and file it, because this is all in our interest. That I my heart is just hurting with the idea that we are going to, what did you say about the intentions of this board is really to make the St. Louis public schools just worthless, just destroy the public schools, so that nobody would want to go to the public schools at all, so that therefore all of the money will be put elsewhere.
Right.
And even if all of the money is put elsewhere, there still will be children in the St. Louis public schools. And the idea that they're getting rid of special ed teachers is just a sin against God. It's just a sin against God. We have to take a break. I am talking to Peter Downs. We're talking St. Louis Public Schools Watch, and we will be back. Stay with us.
You're listening to the best of the Wake Up Call. Stick around for more. Peter Downs and Liz Brown from back at School Watch in 2005. This is AM 920 WGNU.
Attention, attention, calling all current and retired employees of the St. Louis Public School System. Come on out this Saturday, July 21st at 9:30 a.m. Where? At the Firefighters Institute of Racial Equality, 1020 North Taylor Avenue. Why? Because you need to get information to help you protect your pension. Ask yourself this question. Has the pension fund experienced a loss of $67 million this year? That's $67 million. Is the investment fund committee looking out for your interests? How about this? Are you receiving notice of when the investment fund committee meets? Look, as a vested member of the St. Louis Public School Pension Funds, you need to find out what are your rights. So come on out this Saturday at 9:30 a.m., 1020 North Taylor, at the Firefighters Institute of Racial Equality. Come out, get information to help you protect your pension. This is sponsored by the International Urban Institute.
This is Phil Person of Person Roofing. I'd like to introduce to you one of my customers, Joe Scoggins. Mr. Scoggins, how long ago did we work on your property?
It was approximately 8 to 9 years ago, Mr. Persons.
Okay, have you had any problems with your roof since that time?
Well, actually, about 3 weeks ago, I called you, and there was some water damage that was caused as a result of the storm last fall.
Okay.
And you were out the following day to do the repair work. And it was done in such a professional way that I would recommend you to any and everyone.
So how much did we charge you?
It was free, and it was done within a matter of 3 hours.
All right.
So I called you one day, and you were out the very next day, you and your son and his assistant, and you went up on the roof, and you accomplished the task within a matter of 3 hours.
This is Phil Person of Person Roofing. Our service starts when we complete your roof. Our number is 361-7127. You can call us day or night. 361-7127.
Hi, I'm
I'm Lorraine Davis, home mortgage consultant with Wells Fargo.
And I'm Jacques Land with the 100 Black Men of Metropolitan St. Louis.
And we're the host of Let's Get Wealthy, investing in more ways than one.
We'll discuss home ownership as a means to build wealth, create positive personal finances, stabilize our neighborhoods, and acquire the American dream.
Tune into our show, Let's Get Wealthy, every Wednesday at 11 a.m. to get some food for thought during your lunch hour. Sponsored by the 100 Black Men of Metropolitan St. Louis, Wells Fargo Housing Foundation, and produced by the Platinum Group.
I know the place to shop for all your appliance needs. Sears, 3425 Union, Black-owned and Black-operated, Jerome Williams. Sears carries the top six appliance brands, Kenmore, Whirlpool, Maytag, GE, Amana, and Frigidaire. Sears also has the latest in electronics, TVs, VCRs, camcorders, and DVD players. Now, if you find a lower price on an identical branded item with the same features currently available at another local retail store, Sears will match that price plus give you 10% off the difference. That's the Sears Price Match Plus policy. So, save yourself a trip. Stop at Sears first and get a low price promise plus a great selection for your home and garden needs. It's all at your local Sears store right there at 3425 Union, Jerome Williams, 389-9700.
Anywhere in the world at WGNU.net. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown. This is the St. Louis City Schools Watch with Peter Downs, a weekly feature of the award-winning wake-up call.
Now we take you back to the best of the wake-up call. It's Peter Downs and Liz Brown from back in 2005.
This is the St. Louis City Schools Watch with Peter Downs, a weekly feature of the award-winning wake-up call.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the St. Louis Public Schools Watch. I am here, I am Liz Brown, and I'm talking to Peter Downs. And Peter, I want you to give out that information and just repeat it again about what parents of kids in special ed classes, what they can do, and the concern that they should have about what's going on in St. Louis Public Schools.
All right. Just so everyone is clear, even sometimes parents of special ed kids aren't real clear. Every special education student has an individual educational plan, and that plan is supposed to specify the services they need and the least restrictive environment needed to deliver those services. So it determines whether the child is in a regular classroom, in a special ed classroom, or in a special school. The district wants to change where they send kids. They cannot change that without the parents' approval. You cannot change a student's individual education plan without the parents' approval. If the district does, if your child, say, is an autistic child, at Gallaudet, and they say, okay, we're going to send them to Melanthe, or we're going to send them to McLeod.
And Gallaudet is a school that deals specifically with children with special needs?
Yes.
Okay, so every parent at Gallaudet should be doing this?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Then the parent can appeal. The parent can say, I disagree. I'm going to file a child complaint with DESE.
DESE. So is there a criteria that DESE looks at to make a determination of whether or not the child should be moved?
That's getting into more detail than I know. Mm-hmm. I'd say, if you file that complaint, talk to Leslie Lewis, who's willing to help with what you need to do to file the complaint, and with getting there are agencies out there that will provide legal representation as it goes through a due process proceeding with a formal hearing.
Okay.
There will be a formal hearing, which will then, I'm sure there are rules for the hearing and what the hearing officer has to look at, but there will be a formal hearing to determine whether the district's right or you're right.
And the person that can stop the child from being moved, who does that have to be? Does it have to be the parent?
No.
Okay.
No, anybody can file a child complaint with DESE.
Now,
anyone who's familiar with the situation the child is in.
So the teachers could all file.
The teachers can file.
The teachers could file complaints with DESE.
Yes.
And that there's an email address that you have with a woman that wants to help any parent that needs help on this.
Yes. And the woman's name is Leslie Lewis. She used to be Director of Special Education Services in the St. Louis Public Schools.
Okay.
And her email address is lsreep@sbcglobal.net.
And anybody that wants that email address can call the station here at 454-6660. Ask for Howard, and Howard will give you that email address. That's 454-6660. And you and I, Peter, were talking off the air about some other nightmares that are coming down from the St. Louis Public Schools. And I hate to tell this one simply because I have friends of mine whose babies are getting ready to move towards high school. But this is just another frightening thing that's coming down from the St. Louis Public Schools Board, or from the St. Louis School Board. Talk to us about the high school curriculum.
Yes, I've heard from several high school teachers who've seen the new high school curriculum that there are drastic cuts in the number of classes that will be offered in high schools. So a lot of science classes will be eliminated from most of the high schools. Might still have, say, Gateway Tech or something, might still offer some extra science. But essentially, at almost every high school students, to meet their science requirements by the state, 2 years of science, will have to take chemistry and they'll have to take physics. And that's it. They won't have a choice anymore of taking biology or taking geology or taking earth sciences.
And let me just interrupt just for a second what this means. One of the fastest growing fields out there for people to get jobs for young people, even a lot of people that are middle age crisis where they've been laid off from their jobs and they can't get a job in the career that they were laid off from, is nursing. They have 2 year programs at community colleges. They have 2 year programs at WashU. They have 2 year programs at other colleges to get your nursing degree, your associate's. And one of the requirements for that nursing degree is that you have high school biology.
You know, and not just that.
I just wanted to use that as an example that graduating from high school in the city of St. Louis, high school students will have to go to a community college to get a biology course, not because they didn't want to take biology in high school, but because the St. Louis Public Schools didn't offer biology in their classrooms.
And you're right. I mean, nursing is a big field. Just listen to any of the radio stations. You hear advertisements. Hospitals all over town want nurses all the time.
Mm-hmm. It's right? A bounty on men nurses.
And in addition to that, Our the big corporations in town and the RCGA have been pushing a plan to make St. Louis a national center for biological sciences.
Biotech. Mm-hmm.
Biotech. And what they said, one of the things St. Louis needs to attract these companies is what's called biotech technicians. This is, again, another 2 year degree from a community college. But people are able to work then in these factories for biological products. All right? And here we're going to have a public school system that is going to cut out, you know, biology courses that kids would need to go into this field that our you know, supposed civic leaders say is the future of St. Louis.
And here's another thing. We hear all of these sanctimonious, self-serving folks within the community of African descent. I'm talking about the LAC Leadership Roundtable, who talks constantly about bridging the achievement gap. How on earth do you bridge an achievement gap when you have a school board that has eliminated basic courses? I mean, the next thing they're going to be doing is eliminating reading and writing from the curriculum. I mean, how do you live in a city that you are trying to attract other people to come to and the high schools don't offer biology? And what are some of the other courses that the high schools are eliminating?
I understand at Gateway Tech, which has had a... It's a magnet school. Has had a program to prepare kids for careers in computer programming. They're going to eliminate most of the computer programming courses. They are... they're eliminating math courses. You have this schedule so that, for example, they will offer Algebra 1, which everybody has to take, once during the day. I mean, you'll have big lecture-sized classes of 60 to 100 kids taking Algebra 1.
And one teacher.
And one teacher.
So what kind of education are they going to get? What school is able to accommodate that kind of classroom?
You know, my daughter's in college, and she heard this plan. She said, oh, yes. She said, it sucks so bad in college. Let's make it suck in high school, too.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. Peter, I want to thank you for, once again, St. Louis Public Schools Watch, and we will continue to do this. We will continue to do this. And, again, it's a sin and a shame. I'm sorry. I am so sorry.
Right. I'll see you next week.
See you next week, Peter. Liz Brown, I'll be back after the news. Stay with me.
You've been listening to the best of the wake-up call. Stick around for more following top-of-the-hour news, your weather, and your traffic, as well as local news. This is AM 920 WGMU.
It's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Karen Chase. The debate went on all night and continues at this hour in the Senate as Democrats, including Senators Hillary Clinton and John Kerry, try to force a vote on a proposed pullout from Iraq.
It's now 3 a.m. and I doubt that we have many viewers at home.
Al-Qaeda was not in Iraq until we invaded it.
It's a bipartisan amendment.
We must not redeploy out of Iraq with the same failure of planning that we had going in.
There is no military solution.
But ABC's Vic Ratner says the final outcome is unclear.
Unused to staying up all night, some sounded sleepy on the Senate floor, a few others testy. Many slept through most of the speeches. Just 60 senators showed up at a pre-dawn roll call. Democrats had hoped to use the all-nighter to focus public attention on the troop withdrawal issue and pressure wavering Republicans, but there's no sign that any minds were changed.
U.S. military officials announced the capture of a man believed to be the highest-ranking al-Qaeda leader in Iraq. They believe he is the liaison between his terror group and Osama bin Laden and his deputy. Brazil's president has declared 3 days of national mourning for victims of a horrific plane crash. All 186 aboard the plane and 15 people on the ground perished when the jetliner skidded off a runway shortly after landing in Sao Paulo and crashed into a gas station. The BBC's Gary Duffy says the fire was so destructive you can barely tell an aircraft was involved.
It's a very grim and bleak scene. There's not much left of the building. It's a charred mess. I can't see anything that's really readily identifiable as an aircraft. There's just what might be a tail sticking out of the end of the building.
Another myth has been exploded. Researchers say a diet high in fruits and vegetables does nothing to prevent the recurrence of breast cancer. The study found no benefits from a mega vegetable and fruit diet over the normal daily recommendations. And to their surprise, researchers also noted subjects lost no weight on the diet either. They speculate the focus should now switch to activity levels and exercise. This is ABC News.
When a professional driver zooms in for a pit stop, his crew gives his vehicle everything it needs for top performance. He needs the best, and so do you. Hurry to your Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealership during Pit Stop Savings Days. Our crew is the best in the business. Ford-trained technicians who use genuine Ford parts. Race in for great service deals. Only at your participating Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealership. Put the pedal to the metal. Pit Stop Savings Days end September 9th.
Sea-Doo personal watercrafts are all about freedom. Freedom from rush hour traffic. Freedom from boring meetings. And now Sea-Doo adds freedom from payments. Ooh. Purchase before August 5th and you'll enjoy no payments, no interest until next year. Plus, choose from up to $500 in gas money or a three-year limited warranty. Hurry to your local dealer today. No payments, no interest, and free gas or warranty. That's what I call freedom. Sea-Doo. Leave everything else behind. Offer ends 8507. Valid on 05 or newer models and in U.S. only. Subject to credit approval. Conditions and restrictions apply. See your dealer for details.
A group of elder statesmen, including former President Jimmy Carter, Nelson Mandela, and Richard Branson, are launching an initiative aimed at tackling tough problems around the world. ABC's Kate Snow says it's starting in South Africa.
Well, this is the brainchild of Richard Branson, the chairman, of course, of Virgin Atlantic, a multi-billionaire, and also the musician Peter Gabriel. I'm told that they had been thinking about this for years, bringing together elders, bringing together elder statespeople like Jimmy Carter, like Kofi Annan, like Desmond Tutu and Nelson Mandela, in the hopes of helping around the world, humanitarian crises, conflict areas, places like that, places where they think they can make a difference.
The coroner found 10 times the normal level of testosterone in pro wrestler Chris Benoit's body after he hanged himself. He also killed his wife and son. But Georgia's chief medical examiner says whether the steroids had anything to do with the murders is an unanswerable question. Aside from steroids, an antidepressant, Xanax, and a painkiller were found in his system as well. I'm Karen Chase, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU newsroom.
It's time for another WGNU local report. I'm Peyton Colston. In the news this morning, one St. Louis alderman is proposing a bill that would make motorists prepay for gasoline. Alderman Bill Waterhouse is introducing the measure to prevent drive-offs in which someone pumps gas and then drives away without paying for it. A spokesperson for Express Mart says the drive-offs increase whenever the price goes up. One station in the city had 300 calls to police in a month for the problem. If Waterhouse's bill passes, gas stations that do not require prepays could lose their business licenses. A date has not been set for the bill to go before a committee or before the entire board. Meanwhile, Missouri drivers will soon get not only a new license plate, but also a new way to cut down on renewal tab thefts. WGNU's Rich LaCroix has more.
The Post-Dispatch reports the new plates, which will start appearing next year, will have only one renewal tab for the year of expiration. The month of expiration will be stamped and embossed on the new plates. A spokesperson for the Missouri Department of Corrections, Mara Browning, would say only the anti-theft system is, quote, like a marriage between the tab, the month in the upper left corner, and the plate configuration. Missouri plates have used tabs for both month and year since the current series was first issued in 1997.
That's WGNU's Rich LaCroix. And I'm Peyton Colston for AM 920 WGNU News.
Good morning, St. Louis. 6 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU, I'm Howard Morton. Let's take a quick look at this hour's traffic and weather. Eastbound 44 from Soccer Park through 270, heavy volume going on there. Westbound 270 from Old Halls Ferry into Graham Hanley. Look for slow traffic. Westbound 5570 from 3rd Street into the Poplar Street Bridge. Look for slow traffic there as well. Eastbound 70, the usual slowdowns from K through 79. Northbound 270 from Gravoy through Doherty Ferry, look for delays as well. Eastbound 5570 from the Poplar Street Bridge into the 64 merge, look for paving operations causing heavy traffic. Just stay to the right at the split off the end of the bridge and you should be all right, but expect delays. Eastbound 40 from Maryville Center through Mason Road, look for some slowdowns there. Westbound Kingbridge traffic is moving well from the bank into the landing at this hour. Northbound Illinois Route 3 from Monsanto Avenue onto the ramp to the Poplar Street Bridge, look for traffic to be building at the top of that ramp. Northbound 270 from Dorset through 70, look for heavy volume in the 70 exit lanes. Eastbound 70 from 270 into St. Charles Rock Road. Consequently, look for heavy volume as you approach the 270-70 exchange. And southbound 270 from 70 through Dorset, look for slowdowns there as well. That is a look at your traffic. Now let's take a look at your forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Friday. For today, hot and humid, partly cloudy, highs in the upper 90s. The highest heat index will be reached by this afternoon, it should be. We'll take precautions, drink plenty of fluids, and try to stay inside if at all possible. This evening, partly cloudy with a low in the upper 70s. The heat index will still be around 100 by early this evening, so expect to try to cool off as best you can. Thursday, partly sunny. Chance of showers and thunderstorms with a high in the lower 90s. Thursday evening, cooler, mostly cloudy with a chance of showers and thunderstorms. Then partly cloudy after midnight with another chance for showers. And Friday, partly cloudy skies with a high in the mid-80s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 79 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 78, both under overcast skies. Liz Brown is off today. She should be back tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. Until then, we bring you more of the best of the wake-up call. This is AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton for the station for the issues that matter most to you.
Hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, tell me, sisters. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, tell me, sisters. We who believe in freedom cannot rest until it's come. We who believe in freedom cannot rest. We who believe in freedom cannot rest until it's come. Until the killing of black men, black mother's sons, is as important as the killing of white men, white mother's sons. We who believe in freedom cannot rest. Touches me most is that I had a chance to work with people, passing on to others that which was passed on to me. We who believe in freedom and that freedom can't
sing it with us, come on.
We who believe in first,
they come first.
They have the courage where we fail. And if I can but shed some light as they carry us through the gate.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. And I am here, and I'm so excited. I'm here with Pearl Cleed, author of Babylon Sisters, and we're here to talk about her book. Pearl, welcome.
Thank you so much.
It's wonderful having you here. I was telling you before we got on the air that I hadn't read any of your books prior to your book being sent to me, and it was just, it is truly, truly a delight.
Oh, thank you
so
much.
It truly is. And I want to start a little bit with about who you are. I was reading in your bio something very, very interesting. I've never met anybody whose father has the history that he does. Can you tell us a little bit about your dad?
Well, my father was Reverend Albert B. Clay Jr. from Detroit, who later took the African name Jeremoji Abebe Ajiman. And he was a Christian minister, I grew up in the Congregational Church. And then he became a very activist minister. He always was an activist, but he really started to reinterpret his look at Christianity and think about the Christian church, and began to see Jesus as a revolutionary black messiah who was trying to free his people from imperial Rome. So our church then evolved into the Shrine of the Black Madonna, which was a very activist, still is a very activist church, with cultural centers, bookstores. There's one in Detroit, one in Atlanta, which is where I live, and one in Houston, Texas. So that I was very fortunate. I grew up in a household full of activist, loud people.
Oh, how exciting and how empowering. And I can feel that through the words of the stories that you tell, at least in the story of the Babylon Sisters. One of the things, if I can just kind of go off topic for a moment, because you have a very strong political background.
Absolutely.
You were the press secretary for Maynard Jackson, the very first term.
That's right.
And politics plays a large role in the Babylon Sisters.
Yes.
Why is that?
Well, I'm always trying to, I think, write about black women. Black women are always my major characters. And I'm always trying to write about black women who are complex, who are doing things. Sometimes I think we cheat ourselves in our contemporary novels, and the only thing the woman is thinking about is the man in her life. The only thing she's thinking about is the romantic aspect of her life.
And getting to that.
Getting to it and worrying about what, you know, shoes she's got on and what kind of purse she's carrying and all of that. And what I'm always trying to do is write about people who are falling in love but are also learning how to tell the truth, learning how to save their communities, learning how to change the world, all of those things, because I think that's what many of us do. Most of us don't have the luxury to only think about romance in our lives. We have to also think about the fact that we're living somewhere specific. We're moving around somewhere in an environment that often needs some help. So my girls are always trying to fall in love, tell the truth, change the world.
And one of the things that I noticed in the book, Babylon Sisters, was you're a poet as well. Like, I feel the poetry in it. And one of the things that I do when I read it, when I decide I'm going to read a book, I can tell from the first page if this is a book that I want to delve into. And when I read this line in your book, I knew that I wanted to read this book. You were talking about your daughter, and the character is talking about her daughter and talking about the love affair that her daughter was going through, the ending of. I love this line. She handed him her heart and everything else that wasn't tied down. So you talk about a lot the mother-daughter relationships in your book. Talk to us about this character and her relationship with her daughter.
Well, it's funny that you talk about that first page. I actually have a daughter who is older now, but who read that first chapter and then called me and said, look, is this book about me? Because I'm not reading it. This is all about me. And it isn't about her, but it's really about a relationship between a mother and a daughter. The mother has been keeping a secret from the daughter for the daughter's whole life, for 18 years, about who her father is. And the daughter now decides that she can't possibly ever build a successful relationship with a man unless her mother will tell her about her father. And her mother is not prepared to do that. So part of the journey they have to go through is the mother realizing that even though you think you're doing someone a kindness by not telling them the truth, by keeping a secret, I'd really never think that's true. I think that the kindest thing, the only thing that ever really works in a relationship, is to tell the truth. To just, you know, even if it's hard, bite the bullet, tell the person the truth. And by the end of the book, the mother does come to terms with that, and with much pushing from the daughter, tell the truth.
And the other part of it is that all of us who have been children, I can see that in your book, in the relationship between the mother and the daughter, that the daughter is just like the mom.
Exactly.
You know, the daughter is acting like the daughter she was raised to be, and the mother is the one that's having trouble dealing with her being who she wanted her to be.
Well, you know, when we raise these women to be strong, outspoken women, and these are our daughters, and we're going to send them out into the world, and we want them to question everything except us. We don't really want them to ever turn to us with all those skills that we taught them for the outside world and say, okay, Mom, you told me truth is the most important thing, then tell me the truth. Okay, you told me never to bow down to anybody who wouldn't tell the truth to me, and so I'm standing up to you. And it's, I think, the part of what the character has to go through is realizing that she gave her daughter the skills to demand the things that she's now demanding from her mother. And all of us, I think, who have watched our daughters grow up have to have that moment where we say, oh, my God, I've raised a grown woman here who actually is going to stand up to me as a grown woman. She's no longer my little baby. Now she's a grown woman, too. And sometimes it's hard to adjust to that, mm-hmm. but that's part of what this character has to go through is to say, I love this girl for being strong that way.
And the mom is funny, too, in her struggle. You write a very, she's funny.
Yeah.
A lot of the stuff that she says is just, as she goes through the struggle that you've described to deal with this child that she has raised, she's really just quite kind of, when she muses about it, it's really rather funny. But talk to us about who the mother is. There's one I'd like for you to share with us, this beautiful description in the book where the mom... It's kind of talking about who she is, and it speaks to a little bit of what you said earlier about how you want your characters to do and to be certain things, and you want to talk about, or you talk about the community within the book, right here, on page, right here, this paragraph right there, when the character is describing herself and what she does.
I tell people the language I speak is the future, and I love it. All you have to do is help a Cambodian family find safe housing or a Haitian mother register her children for school or reunite a Cuban father with a son he thought he'd never see again or attend a Liberian wedding party to know that there isn't nearly as much difference between people as some of our governments and institutions want us to think there is. In my line of work, what I've learned is that most people are looking for pretty much the same things, health and peace and love and family and a community where you can wave at your neighbors and they wave back.
There's that poetry again, a community where you can wave at your neighbors and they wave back. Community is very much part of the themes and the energy that goes through the story of
Absolutely.
Babylon's sister.
That really runs through all my work because I grew up in Detroit. I moved to D.C. I went to school at Howard, and now I live in Southwest Atlanta. So I've always lived in black communities, and I'm very conscious of the fact that sometimes we forget how much we have to take responsibility for those communities. We walk past the pile of trash every day and never think to pick it up. We worry about the kids on our street, but we never go outside to talk to them. So that what I'm always trying to say is, you know, we can fix this. A lot of what's wrong with the neighborhoods that we live in can be fixed by us if we will remember what it is as a real community looks like. You know, there's always that problem of you get so used to taking what you can get that you forget what it was that you wanted. And what we want is just what I'm trying to describe there, you know, where you can sit on your porch at night and talk to your neighbors and cut your grass and know the kids down the street and all of that stuff that we romanticize now in a way that, you know, makes it seem like it can never happen again. And I'm a firm believer that it can happen again if we remember that that's what we want and then start working that way.
Do you see, when you look at the political landscape, when you look at the world that we as people of African descent live in today, back when you were the press secretary for Maynard Jackson in the 80s, have things changed? And have they changed for the worse?
Well, actually, that was the early 70s.
Early 70s.
So that was a long time ago. He was elected in 1973.
Okay.
So that the world has changed a lot, and not necessarily for the better. I think that many of us felt when Maynard was elected, because he was the first black mayor, that now everything was going to be okay. Now we could go home and sit down because he was going to fix it. Mm-hmm. And I'm very conscious of the fact that a lot of people almost consciously thought that, you know, that now we've got a good guy in office and he's going to look out for us.
But isn't that kind of like the whole struggle within the African community, the civil rights struggle? It was like when Thurgood Marshall got Brown versus Board of Education at pass.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people felt, and Thurgood even talked about it later in his life, that we thought it was over once we won that battle.
Exactly.
But it wasn't over.
And it's never over.
Never
it's
over.
It's a constant struggle. It's an ongoing
struggle. Like the song
struggle.
That was claimed.
Exactly. I love that song.
I love that song.
I love that song for that reason, because that's, I mean, those words are the words of Ella Baker, who
mm-hmm.
was a great hero of the civil rights movement. So that the fact that we tend to think when somebody is elected to office, now it's over, now we can go home. We can't go home. And what we do is leave that person isolated.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to watch Maynard trying to, you know, talk to these wealthy businessmen who were the people who actually owned much of Atlanta at that time. And he would be all by himself because there was no one to have his back, nobody to stand there with him and say, yes, we believe, go ahead, push forward, do more, do more. Mm-hmm. And I think that what happens is that we get lazy. It's hard to struggle.
It
all
is
the
hard
time.
To struggle, and people do get.
That's
you know,
right.
Either they get lazy, or they just get tired, or they sweet talk themselves into thinking I'm just trying to raise my kid.
Exactly.
I'm going to take care of my house, and that's what I'm going to focus on. That's going to be my contribution. But
we can't do that. My father used to talk about that a lot. That everybody thinks they can protect their own little child in their own little house, but you have to send that child out into the world so that even though you're doing the best you can to try to raise your kid and have a nice, peaceful atmosphere in your house, if all around your house there's insanity and violence and madness, then you can't do it because you're eventually going to have to send that baby to school. You're eventually going to have to get a job and go out into that world. So that it's really, I think, important that we realize that this is, even though we're tired, this is a constant struggle and we're going to have to continue to do it. And it doesn't even mean that we have to be marching every day. We don't have to be necessarily on the front lines in that way. But many of us don't even vote.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it hasn't been that long. I live in Georgia where we could even vote. And now, you know, it'll be election day and the turnout will be abysmal because we've forgotten that people died for that right within my lifetime. So that I think it's really part of what I'm always trying to do in these books is to stir us up a little bit and say, in the midst of all those personal things that we have to do, in the midst of Catherine, my main character, having to deal with her daughter, in the midst of her trying to figure out what to tell her about her personal life, she's also got to deal with the wider issues that are affecting her as a black woman living in the city of Atlanta.
And the other things that occur in your book that are so magical is you talk about the struggles that we need to be engaged in, but those of us that are engaged in the struggle and those of us that are kind of standing on the sideline trying to decide if they're going to get engaged, we need to hear success stories.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to, because those success stories kind of help feed us and help move us along. You talk about success stories within your book when you talk about how the community that the mother and the daughter lived in at one time was not a very good community, but the community took that into their hands and then changed it.
Right, exactly. The book that comes right before this one, which is Some Things I Never Thought I'd Do, actually talks a lot about this same community, which is the West End community of Atlanta, and how they went through that process of transformation, and that part of what the real problem was that the men in that community were predators. They were preying on the women and children. There was lots of domestic violence, lots of abuse of children, and that the men in that community, the good men, had to stand up to the others and say, not here.
Mm-hmm.
This is not going to happen here, and take responsibility for making sure that the brothers who didn't understand how to live in a peaceful way were encouraged, in no uncertain terms, to live in a very peaceful way.
In all kinds of ways of encouragement.
That's right, exactly. And I think that's part of it, too, that we forget that. Sometimes, you know, when we talk about race and gender at the same time, we think we have to be on different sides, and that we as black women have to be on one side fussing at the brothers who are on the other side. And I think it's much more a question of people who are enlightened and understand how to live in a peaceful way enlightening the people who have not yet seen that. So it doesn't have to break down in terms of men on one side, women on the other. It breaks down in terms of good people trying to help those who aren't there yet so that we don't become a community that's divided along lines of gender when that isn't really where the problem is.
And again, back to the song that was playing about that we have to help each other along. We've got to help others see the world that we live in and their obligation to that world.
Exactly.
One of the things, there's so many things in this book that are so contemporary and so powerful and so empowering. One of the issues that you talk about in the book is the black press.
Mm-hmm.
And I love the character. I wish we had him. I wish we had him here in St. Louis. I really do. But talk to us about him. Where did the idea of him come from?
This is Louis, the editor, the publisher of the Sentinel that you're talking about. I'm a big fan of the black press.
Mm-hmm.
My family used to have a newspaper in Detroit called the Illustrated News, which was a little radical paper.
Mm-hmm.
So that I was always involved in watching my father and my uncles and my mother put the paper together and, you know, running it off and distributing it in barbershops and all those kinds of things. But I am very much a fan of us having newspapers that speak to us and that are controlled by us and that talk specifically about the issues that confront us in our community. But in many cases, those newspapers are gone now.
Mm-hmm.
Those newspapers have been bought by other people so that their emphasis has changed. Or we begin to read the other papers, the daily papers, the bigger papers, and we stop supporting the black newspapers, which I think is a shame.
Mm-hmm.
So that the reason that I put this newspaper in there was to say this guy is determined to keep this paper. His father started this paper. He's going to keep this paper, and he's going to make sure that it is a newspaper that continues on and survives because it does play a role that no other paper can play. So I really do love black newspapers, and I loved having a chance to really make an editor who was a crusading editor. You know the way
and
you see in the movie.
Exactly, and a successful one.
Exactly.
And a one that loves his community past his heart.
Yeah.
You know, and I was thinking about the story that, or the component of the black newspaper in your book, Babylon Sisters, when I was reading about you in Essence Magazine. But we have to take a break, and I will be back. We'll be back to continue this conversation. I am talking to Pearl. I've been pronouncing your name wrong.
It's Clegg.
Clegg. Mm-hmm. Pearl Clegg, author of Babylon Sisters. I got that right. Babylon Sisters. My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Of course, we are broadcasting live from Xenia to Zimbabwe on the World Wide Web at www.wgnu.net. You can also email me at Liz Brown. That's Liz with two Z's, LizBrown, at sbcglobal.net. We'll be back. Stay with us.
You're listening to the best of the Wake Up Call. Liz Brown is out today. She will be back tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. And until then, enjoy the best of the Wake Up Call. Good morning, St. Louis. 29 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. Let's take a look at this hour's traffic and your weather. Westbound 70 at Grand and Adelaide. Look for a disabled vehicle near Adelaide. Look for stop-and-go traffic as a result. Northbound 270 from Gravois through Doherty Ferry, you've got slow traffic. Eastbound 5570 from Poplar Street Bridge in the 64 merge. Look for paving operations creating some difficulty on the bridge. Look for heavy volume there. Kings Highway south of 40, there's a disabled bi-state bus, and it's in the right lane. It's causing some delays there. Northbound 55 from Route Z through Route M, there's an accident that's been cleared. And northbound 55 from 44 through the Poplar Street Bridge, look for slow traffic due to construction on the PSB. Eastbound 70 from Broadway through through Poplar Street Bridge, actually look for slow traffic as a result of that construction as well. Eastbound 44 from Soccer Park through 270, look for heavy volume going on there. Westbound 270 from Old Halls Ferry and the Graham Hanley, look for delays. Westbound 5570 from 3rd Street onto the Poplar Street Bridge, look for slowdowns. Eastbound 70 from T.R. Hughes through 79, look for delays. Eastbound 40 from Maryville Center through Mason Road, very heavy volume going on. Northbound 270 at Highway 70, look for some slowdowns there as well. That is a look at your traffic. Now let's take a look at your forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Friday. For today, hot and humid, partly cloudy, highs in the upper 90s. The heat index will be around 104 by this afternoon. This evening, partly cloudy with a low in the upper 70s. The heat index will still be around 100 by this afternoon. So just use caution. Get plenty of water and try to stay cool and stay inside if at all possible. Thursday, partly sunny, 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms, highs in the lower 90s. Thursday evening, cooler, mostly cloudy, chance of showers in the evening, and then again overnight with a low in the upper 60s. Then on Friday, partly cloudy skies with a high in the mid-80s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 78 degrees and clouds. Lambert Field is reporting 79. Stay tuned for more of the best of the Wake Up Call. Liz Brown is out today. She'll be back on Monday, she'll be back tomorrow at 6 a.m. Until then, we're going to bring you more of the best of the Wake Up Call right here on AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton for the station where the issues matter most to you.
I know the place to shop for all your appliance needs. Sears, 3425 Union, black-owned and black-operated, Jerome Williams.
Sears carries the top six appliance brands, Kenmore, Whirlpool, Maytag, GE, Amana, and Frigidaire. Sears also has the latest in electronics, TVs, VCRs, camcorders, and DVD players. Now, if you find a lower price on an identical branded item with the same features currently available at another local retail store, Sears will match that price plus give you 10% off the difference. That's the Sears Price Match Plus policy. So, save yourself a trip. Stop at Sears first and get a low price promise plus a great selection for your home and garden needs. It's all at your local Sears store right there at 3425 Union, Jerome Williams, 389-9700.
Are you an inventor, or do you know an inventor who would like to attempt to have an invention or idea patented and submitted to industry? Well, for free information on how to proceed, call this toll-free number.
Call 800-346-9966.
InventHelp, one of America's largest invention companies, has inventor information you can have for free. Record your invention's date of origination, plus get an information brochure and other materials of interest to new inventors. Learn how to get this free information just by calling this toll-free number.
Call 800-346-9966. That's 1-800-346-9966.
Even if you have an idea for improving an existing product and don't know where to go with it, you'll want this free inventor's information. It shows how InventHelp may assist you in trying to patent your invention and submit it to industry. So call InventHelp right now, toll free.
Call 800-346-9966. That's 1-800-346-9966.
People, have you heard about Golden Grocer Natural Market? It's locally owned and operated for over 30 years and serving and meeting your health needs by ensuring the best quality and selection in vitamin supplements and organic groceries. Golden Grocer Natural Market has the largest loose herb selection around. You can also get your grains and natural beauty items as well. Their staff is friendly, knowledgeable, and committed to helping you on your journey to improved and enhanced health. Golden Grocer believes that the healthiest goal is achieving balance in every area of your life. So, live your life like it's golden, and let Golden Grocer help you along the way. Golden Grocer, Natural Market, 335 North Euclid, right there in the Central West End. Open 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., Monday through Saturday, and Sunday 12 to 5. Golden Grocer, 367-0405. That's 367-0405.
Recently in St. Louis, some changes were made in healthcare providers, and we at ConnectCare want you to know that sometimes change can be good. ConnectCare, still connected to the community. ConnectCare is now your specialty care clinic hub. If you or your loved one is dealing with kidney disease, you can contact one of ConnectCare's renal specialists at our renal clinic, dedicated to improving the quality of life and providing optimal care for patients with chronic and acute renal disease. At ConnectCare, we have 14 specialty care clinics to serve your healthcare needs. Our specialty care clinic hub includes specialty clinics dealing with arthritis, ENT, GI, orthopedics, and a women's specialty clinic. At ConnectCare, the physicians and staff at our specialty clinics are committed to the philosophy that the best care is provided by those with the greatest commitment to their community. ConnectCare, still connected to the community.
This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Join me weekday afternoons from 2 till 4 on AM 920. WGNU discusses the issues that matter most to you every day. And if you have a relationship problem with a friend, coworker, or family member, it really matters to me. So call me at 1-800-DR-LAURA. That's 1-800-DR-LAURA. Tune in every Monday through Friday afternoon from 2 until 4 and take on the day with me, Dr. Laura, on AM 920 WGNU.
What you need to know, when you need to know it. The award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Now we take you back to the best of the Wake-Up Call right here on AM 920 WGNU, your station for the issues that matter most to you.
Mother's son is as important as the killing of white men. White mother's sons, we who believe in freedom cannot rest.
Welcome back.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. We are talking about Babylon Sisters. And Pearl, welcome back.
Thank you.
One of the things that we were talking about on our way out was the death of black newspapers, and I, the magazine that I saw the article about you, Essence Magazine, and I was excited. I read the article, and I looked through the magazine, because we had done a story here on the Wake Up Call about what's happening to our black newspapers, and that Essence in particular was recently purchased, by, I believe, by the Time Warner.
Mm-hmm, Time Warner.
And we had a number of people on, number of journalists of African descent on to talk about that purchase. And I had to smile when I saw the Essence that you were in, because on the back cover of the magazine was a glorious full-page ad from Gap with Sarah Jessica Parker's face on it. Mm-hmm. Now, for those of you that don't understand what I'm saying, this is a black woman's new magazine where I've only seen images of 99% of the women that I've seen in advertising have been women of African descent, let alone on both sides of the cover have always been women of mm-hmm. African descent. So this represents a new age, doesn't it?
It does, and it's a big change. And I think that sometimes we underestimate the change that is going to occur when ownership changes.
Mm-hmm.
And many of us who have read Essence for years and who love Essence and love the women there and all of that, and I'm definitely one of those, but I'm very nervous about what this change is going to mean, because Essence has always been a place where we knew this was black women talking to black women.
That's right.
But now we've kind of got someone else in charge of it, so that when the person in charge is not necessarily a person who shares our politics or shares our history or really understands what it is that Essence represents to us, there are going to be some changes that are going to be bothersome to us.
Mm-hmm.
And what you're talking about is definitely one of those changes when you look in and say, wait a minute, that's not us. You know, we want to see us in this magazine. So I'm very conscious of the fact that they're in a state of transition, and I hope that they'll continue to be us.
And the other part, the other problem to that, Pearl, is the studies that have been done about, at least not too long ago, about young black women and their body images, that our body images are different than young white girls' body images. When African women look at themselves in the mirror, regardless of their size, that when they interviewed and polled and did the studies of young black girls, they looked in the mirror and they said, I look good,
mm-hmm.
regardless of what their size was. And on the other side of that were the young white girls. When they looked in the mirror, they wanted to look like the Kate Mosses of the world out here. And so I'm concerned from the or should we be concerned from the perspective of, if we see this penetration of the Sarah Jessica Parker model type bodies, things infiltrating within black women's magazine, are we going to lose that too?
I think we will, because I think that's where it comes from. Nobody in real life is as thin as these girls
mm-hmm.
that we see.
Absolutely.
No one is as
Absolutely.
Thin as Kate Moss. No one is as thin as Sarah Jessica Parker.
That doesn't have an
that
illness.
Doesn't get, or that doesn't get paid to be that
mm-hmm.
thin. You know,
or, and doesn't have an illness to accompany that film.
Exactly.
That
so that it's not the real world. But
mm-hmm.
we're so confused sometimes about what is the real world and what is make-believe. And these women dressing this way, the women on Sex and the City
mm-hmm.
wearing those shoes and outfits that cost way more than any living human being on a regular paycheck.
Daily.
Ever
she wears
afford.
Them daily.
So those kinds of fantasies are encouraging us to not only not love what we look like, but to be materialistic in a way that is going to mean your bank account is depleted and all you've got at the end of it is a lot of really beautiful shoes.
Mm-hmm. Let me get to a caller here. Irene J. Smith,
good morning. Good morning, Liz Brown. And to your yes, this morning. I am so glad that you have her on.
She's wonderful.
Yes, she is. And you need to tell where we can purchase her book and who publishes her.
Yes, ma'am. And actually, there's going to be a book signing. This is going to be tonight.
Tonight.
And it's going to be at the Schlafly Library at Euclid and Lindell. At
right.
7.
I did read that in a paper. I won't miss.
Okay. Anyway. And at 7 o'clock tonight.
All right.
Okay.
I mean, because you speaking to issues that you and I have talked about so much as it pertains to our community here in St. Louis, in terms of our perspective, in terms of what we can do as community to improve the quality of life for our people. So I'm so glad you had her on, and I'm hoping that you will have her on again.
Me too.
Where you can talk to her for a longer length of time.
Okay. Thank you, Irene.
Okay.
454-0400 is my phone number. Pearl, how I asked you a little bit earlier about how concerned we should be about our state as a community of African descent. Politically, where are we? And should we be very concerned about where we are?
I think we should. I think many of us are overwhelmed by the situation that we see around us. I think our country is in a very strange position right now. I think the fact that we're at war, that we're bombing women and children in several places in the world, and many of us have just kind of stepped back. And we used to think about local politics, and then for a while we thought about national politics. Now many of us don't think about politics at all. And part of what this character is doing in Babylon Sisters is to try to get politics into a zone where she can actually understand it, think about it. So she works with immigrant women and children, with refugee women and children. And I really think that as we think about politics, we can stop trying to make it so big and so complicated and just say to ourselves, let's try to think about everybody's children as if that was our child. Let's think about those women in Fallujah as if they were our sisters, the same way we would women in this country. Let's try to make a human family idea rather than saying, okay, I'm not going to think about anything except what's going on in my house on my block. On my street. Because you can't do that anymore. This is a huge country, rather than saying, okay, I'm not going to think about anything except what's going on in my house, on my block, on my street, because you can't do that anymore. This is a try to make a human family. Our country is acting and we have to be active citizens of the world, so that trying to do was to say we have to look at them, we have to save them, we have to think about them, we have to make sure that they're not vulnerable to that kind of predator in the world, and certainly not in a city like Atlanta where we've got black women in charge of everything, black women judges, black women mayor. We have to be able to focus that power on this issue in a way that can make them feel more powerful. And the chapter that you're talking about is one of my favorites, because I think part of what we do as women sometimes is take our own power because we don't feel it. Mm-hmm. So give it away. We don't know that if we stood up together, mm-hmm. we could change everything. Mm-hmm. And I
other women feel more powerful than what society tells them that they're supposed to feel.
I think that's absolutely part of it, because when you're isolated, when you're all by yourself, you always feel powerless.
Or you've been beat down for a long time, like the character in the book had been scared and beaten down and frightened for what was to come.
Right, so that you sit in your house and think about all these awful things. And oftentimes when you go outside, you find that it's not as scary as you thought it was, and that everybody else on your block is worried about those same things, too. Mm-hmm. So that part of, I think, what I'm a 60s child, and mm-hmm. part of what we had was movements, so that you could go to a demonstration and realize that there were 100,000 other people who felt that same way. And I think women today don't have that. They don't have those same ways of identifying each other. So we have to find ways to do that, ways to figure out where we are and how to come together.
And we have to take another break. I'm talking to the author of Babylon Sisters, and we're going to have a book signing at the St. Louis Public Library, Shafley Branch, Euclid Avenue, and Lindell at 7 o'clock tonight, and they'll be able to buy copies?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
The bookstore,
okay.
Left Bank Books, will be selling the
books. Okay, Left Bank Books will be selling the books, and that's tonight. Don't miss this. At 7 o'clock, Euclid and Lindell. I'm Liz Brown. This is the wake-up call, and you need to stay with us. We're going to do a little bit of World News Report, and then we'll be back to talk more about Babylon Sisters. Stay with us.
You're listening to the best of the wake-up call. Stick around for more following these commercials.
Shop for all your appliance needs? Sears, 3425 Union, black-owned and black-operated, Jerome Williams. Sears carries the top six appliance brands, Kenmore, Whirlpool, Maytag, GE, Amana, and Frigidaire. Sears also has the latest in electronics, TVs, VCRs, camcorders, and DVD players. Now, if you find a lower price on an identical branded item with the same features currently available at another local retail store, Sears will match that price plus give you 10% off the difference. That's the Sears Price Match Plus policy. So, save yourself a trip. Stop at Sears first and get a low price promise plus a great selection for your home and garden needs. It's all at your local Sears store right there at 3425 Union, Jerome Williams, 389-9700.
This is Phil Person of Person Roofing. I'd like to introduce to you one of my customers, Joe Scoggins. Mr. Scoggins, how long ago did we work on your property?
It was approximately 8 to 9 years ago, Mr. Persons.
Okay, have you had any problems with your roof since that time?
Well, actually, about 3 weeks ago, I called you, and there was some water damage that was caused as a result of the storm last fall.
Okay.
And you were out the following day to do the repair work. And it was done in such a professional way that I would recommend you to any and everyone.
So how much did we charge you?
It was free, and it was done within a matter of 3 hours.
All right.
So I called you one day, and you were out the very next day, you and your son and his assistant, and you went up on the roof, and you accomplished the task within a matter of 3 hours.
This is Phil Person of Person Roofing. Our service starts when we complete your roof. Our number is 361-7127. You can call us day or night. 361-7127.
Summertime, and the living is easy, right? Not if you don't get your family reunion t-shirts done on time. Here's a tip. Call Robert Guy and Associates, 421-3200. They specialize in family reunion t-shirts and softball team t-shirts. In fact, Robert Guy and Associates will put together fabulous t-shirts for all occasions. Here's the address, 2006 Salisbury. The number is 421-3200. Robert Guy and Associates, your t-shirt specialist. And check this out. If you mention you heard this on the Liz Brown Show, you'll get 10% off. It doesn't get any better. 421-3200, Robert Guy and Associates.
Later today on WGNU's Sloan Ranger program, the Sloan Ranger talks with Carl Bernstein, Pulitzer Prize-winning Watergate reporter and author of the best-selling Hillary Clinton biography, A Woman in Charge. Don't miss Carl Bernstein this afternoon at 5:30 on the Sloan Ranger with Lloyd Sloan. Only right here on AM 920 WGNU.
For those that should be heard, this is the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Now we take you back to the best of the wake-up call right here on AM 920 WGNU.
We will not bow down to injustice. We will not bow down to exploitation. What you gonna do?
I'm gonna stand.
I just can't tolerate racism. I just can't tolerate
injustice.
I just won't tolerate
exploitation.
What you gonna do?
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. Pearl, welcome back.
Oh, thank you.
And I want to, again, let everybody know that we're talking about Babylon Sisters. We're talking about this incredible story out of Atlanta. And if you want to talk to the author, if you want to get a copy of Babylon Sisters, come on out to the St. Louis Public Library, the Shafley Branch, Euclid and Lindell at 7 o'clock tonight. Left Bank Books will be selling the books, and you'll be able to get a copy of the book. Pearl, we were talking a little bit off air about the state of politics, because politics, again, is one of the reoccurring themes throughout your book. And I was talking about the piece of legislation that Georgia just passed to get back to the issue of, you know, things have changed so much from when you were working for Maynard Jackson to the year 2005. We've gone backwards in a lot of ways when you think that Georgia has now passed a piece of legislation that says you got to have a photo ID in
order
to vote.
It's really scary, because what we're trying to do is to get people to come and vote, to get young people to register to vote. And the more restrictions you put on people before they can come and vote, the less likely they are to come and do it. And it's really a terrible thing. There were several legislators who stood up and, you know, talked about it.
And walked out, actually.
And walked out and were angry and all of that. And I think that's very important. But we're in a very conservative mode right now. In the state of Georgia, we have a very conservative Republican governor. And I think people are kind of looking away, and these things are going to be law before they look back, which is very frightening to me, because I remember when you couldn't vote in Georgia at all.
And this is really turning into kind of a form of a poll tax, because you have to pay money to get some ID.
Exactly, because if you don't have a driver's license, then what are you going to do?
And I read somewhere that there's like 130-something-odd counties in Georgia and less than 60 driver's license bureaus.
Right.
And 10 of those are in Atlanta.
Right.
So
it's really terrible.
And it
really, there's no real reason for it.
Mm-hmm.
There hasn't been a big problem with voter fraud like that. There haven't been people coming trying to vote twice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just a method of intimidating voters.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very frightening.
One of the other reoccurring themes throughout the book, Babylon Sisters, is you talk about brothers. Now, there are a couple brothers in there I would like to, there's one brother in there, but, no, two, that I would really, really like to meet. But I love the father.
BJ.
BJ. Mm-hmm. Love BJ.
Mm-hmm.
I love you. Where did the idea of BJ come from? And tell us a little bit about BJ.
He is a reporter, actually, and he was a good friend of Catherine's for a long time, and then they became lovers.
Mm-hmm.
And when she got pregnant, she decided she was going to graduate school, and he was going to Africa, actually, to be a reporter.
Mm-hmm.
And she
decided. How cool is that? I just love these little things that you just don't get to read about. That's what he was going to do after he graduated.
He was going to Ghana.
Yeah.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
But she decided that that she would have a legal abortion,
mm-hmm.
and that they would go on with their lives. And he, trying to be a progressive man, didn't say to her, you know, please don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
I would love for us to have this child. So that he was trying to be progressive, she was trying to be progressive and not hold him back by saying, you know, I really want to have this child. So after he went to Africa, she had the baby but did not tell him, because she felt like that wasn't fair. And he never knew that he had a daughter. And when he comes back, I think the thing I love about that character is he's delighted to find out that he has a daughter. He's so happy because he never wanted her to have the abortion.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, I think part of what I was trying to raise is the women's movement, was a wonderful thing, and I definitely call myself a womanist. I believe in the women's movement. I'm a feminist. I believe that we are still engaged in a struggle for a lot of those gender equality issues. But I think that what we did was change the environment in a way that makes it difficult for progressive men to know exactly what we want them to do.
Mm-hmm.
And BJ is a good example of that. He was trying to do the right thing, but he didn't really know that within that context, he still gets to say, I would really like to have this baby. If you can work with me on this, I'll help you, I'll be with you, all of that, so that it really raises that issue where we're trying to say one thing because we think that's the right thing to say, but what we have to do is get to the place where whatever the right thing is, the truth is always the right thing to say.
Mm-hmm.
And if he had told her how he felt, they wouldn't have had those 18 years before they could get back together. But I love him a lot because he's a citizen of the world.
That's
he's
right.
been all over. He's been in Afghanistan. He's got wonderful stories.
And he cares about his people, and he's still an advocate after all these years. He's still an advocate, because sometimes you see in people, they start out being an advocate and then they get tired.
Right.
Yeah. And then they don't, and they're not an advocate in any way, shape, or form, but he's still an advocate.
And
that's
he's
really
been,
neat.
In the book, he's been offered a big job or something by the New York Times, and he doesn't want to take it because he wants to work with the black newspaper.
And one of the things that I do want to emphasize about the book, Babylon Sisters, is that fundamentally it is a love story.
Mm-hmm.
This is a love story.
It is. And the thing that I love is that in the process of doing his work and in the process of her doing her work, they get to come back together. He comes back to Atlanta, and they do realize that they can be together, and she tells him about his child, and at the end of the book, they do find a way to be together. So I don't want to say exactly what happens at the end of the book, but in my books, the good folks always get together. In my books, it's always for the people who are struggling with the questions and struggling to tell each other the truth and find a way to live honorably. They're always rewarded for that. I don't write books where the people do good things and then they get punished for it, although sometimes in life that does happen.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that what I'm always trying to do in my books is to say, you can tell a man the truth and he'll still love you. You can tell yourself the truth and still be a strong woman and a good woman. You can find a life where
you tell your children the truth.
Exactly, which is what she has to learn to do, to stop lying to the people that she loves.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're all able to, you know, to have much better time together.
And I've read that truth and honesty is a big issue for you. It's a reoccurring theme in all your books.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. I think that for a long time, when I was a young woman, I was always consumed with trying to figure out what people wanted, what they needed, and then I would try to do that. And that's exhausting. You cannot keep that up. And also what it does is make a person be drawn to you because you're pretending to be something else.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they realize that's not really you, it's always a betrayal, so that it really has been a part of what I continue to deal with in my own life, which is tell people the truth about who you are, about who you see when you look at them, and you're always rewarded for it. I've found that I've been married for 11 years now, and I think that one of the things that is a real bond between my husband and me is that we always struggle to tell each other the truth, and it always works out much better than if you say, no, I won't tell him this, or no, I won't tell her this, you know, because then you're doing that work on whatever that problem is together.
Mm-hmm. And that is just such, that is the way that we need to be living our lives, because when people think back on their lives, and you think about the times that, okay.
You've been listening to the best of the Wake Up Call. Stick around for more following the ABC News, your local news and traffic.
For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
From ABC News, I'm Karen Chase. Senators were up all night and are still debating at this hour over a proposed pullout from Iraq.
Is the surge leading to a reduction in violence? No.
California Democratic Senator Dianne Feinstein argued for a withdrawal. Oregon Republican Senator Orrin Hatch argued against it.
I'm 73 years old, Mr. President, and I fear that should we concede to the call for withdrawal without a sound policy, the harm to this nation will last longer than I have years to live.
What happens next? ABC's Jake Tapper takes a look.
Later this day, the Senate will vote on that troop withdrawal bill, and ultimately it will probably fail. But Democrats say every time they pressure Republicans, it has an impact, and this may not be the last all-nighter.
The runway was rain-slicked when a jetliner skidded on landing at Sao Paulo's airport and crashed into a gas station. ABC's Taina Hernandez has details.
Seconds after the crash, planes shot into the skies over Sao Paulo. As it was landing, TAM Airlines 3054 skidded off the runway, slid across a highway during rush hour, and slammed into a gas station. The wheel hit the ground right near my taxi, this woman said. says, when it exploded, I ran. Everyone ran.
The death toll is over 200 and includes people in the plane and on the ground. Americans planning to go to Europe may soon be required to go online first and get e-visas 48 hours before takeoff. The European Union is considering the requirement in response to the Bush administration's requirement that Europeans visiting here do the same. Canine custody laws are now being considered in Wisconsin. Lawmakers are debating a measure that spells out who gets the cat if a couple gets divorced. It would also detail whether Fido or Fluffy can cross state lines. Stop complaining about your job and just do it. You love it. A new study finds nearly 8 of 10 of us are happy to be here. The top reasons we whistle while we work include the paycheck, health benefits, and hopefully, job security. This is ABC News.
When a professional driver zooms in for a pit stop, his crew gives his vehicle everything it needs for top performance. He needs the best, and so do you. Hurry to your Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealership during Pit Stop Savings Days. Our crew is the best in the business. Ford-trained technicians who use genuine Ford parts. Race in for great service deals. Only at your participating Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealership. Put the pedal to the metal. Pit Stop Savings Days end September 9th.
Sea-Doo personal watercrafts are all about freedom. Freedom from rush hour traffic. Freedom from boring meetings. And now Sea-Doo has freedom from payments. Purchase before August 5th and you'll enjoy no payments, no interest until next year. Plus, choose from up to $500 in gas money or a 3-year limited warranty. Hurry to your local dealer today. No payments, no interest, and free gas or warranty. That's what I call freedom. Sea-Doo. Leave everything else behind. Offer ends 8/5/07. Valid on 05 or newer models and in U.S. only. Subject to credit approval. Conditions and restrictions apply. See your dealer for details.
A new book offers a guided tour to rock and roll landmarks.
There's a lady.
Led Zeppelin Crashed Here is the title of a new book by pop culture historian Chris Epting.
Where did the Stones play their very first concert in the United States? Where did the Beatles play their first or their last?
Epting takes readers to a John Lennon landmark.
The hotel room in Montreal where he and Yoko staged the Bed In for Peace back in the 60s. One of my favorite places in the book is a restaurant in West Hollywood. Back in the 60s, it was the Doors recording studio.
Chris Epting's Led Zeppelin Crashed Here, the rock and roll landmarks of North America. Bill Deal, ABC News.
They spent millions of dollars trying to button up this book until Saturday, but a Maryland man claims he's already gotten his hands on the new Harry Potter book that he ordered last month from DeepDiscount.com. Deep Discount may be in deep trouble with the publisher Scholastic, which has struggled mightily to keep the book and the fate of Harry Potter under wraps until Saturday at midnight. I'm Karen Chase, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU Newsroom.
And with another WGNU local report, I'm Peyton Colston. In the news today, Missouri Attorney General Jane Nixon has filed an appeal in Cole County Circuit Court seeking to overturn the $43 million rate increase awarded by the Missouri Public Service Commission to St. Louis utility Ameren Corporation in May. The PSC rejected the Attorney General's application for a rehearing of the case. After Ameren filed its initial rate increase, a request of $361 million, Nixon's office conducted an audit of the company's books and records to determine the accuracy of the company's claims that increased costs necessitated such a rate increase. Nixon says the audit revealed a number of areas where Ameren had made omissions or improper accounting proposals or had overstated costs in the company's request for the rate increase, which would have been a state record. Though Ameren received an increase far less than it requested, Nixon says it's still unacceptable to consumers. He says, quote, Ameren is not entitled to any rate increase and instead should have received a rate cut from the PSC, end quote. And in Bell Ridge, a police officer is out of a job after allegedly roughing up a suspect during an arrest. An internal investigation by the Bell Ridge Police Department resulted in the firing of 39-year-old officer Joe Gargnani. He and two other officers served a bench warrant July 8th on Sundria May at her home for failure to appear in court for 6 minor offenses. Two officers accompanying Gargnani reported him for allegedly twisting May's arm during the arrest. And that's a WGNU local report. I'm Peyton Colston.
Good morning, St. Louis. 6 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. Let's get a final look at your traffic for this 9 o'clock hour. Eastbound 5570 from Poplar Street Bridge through Tudor Avenue. The roadway is reduced to one lane. Look for stop-and-go traffic. 55 Illinois southbound from 143 through 70. Look for construction work, so look for stop-and-go traffic there as well. Southbound 55 from 4500 South Broadway into Bates. Look for an accident that's at Bates. Look for slowdowns and just use caution as you roll up to those areas. Westbound 70 from 94 through Zumbel. Look for a vehicle on fire that's reported west of Zumbel. Look for slow traffic. Eastbound 5570 from Poplar Street Bridge into 64. Look for paving operations. Have the bridge traffic all tied up, so just use caution. Give yourself a break. Northbound 55 at Park and Poplar Street Bridge. You've got construction on the Poplar Street Bridge. That's causing delays getting onto the Poplar Street Bridge from northbound 55. Eastbound 70 from Broadway through Poplar Street Bridge. You've got delays there as well due to construction on the PSB. Westbound 5570 from 64 into the Poplar Street Bridge. They are paving that direction as well, and one to two lanes may be closed during off-peak hours, which begin right about now. There are a number of other road construction projects throughout the major metropolitan area and surrounding counties. Just use caution, give yourself a break, and plan on taking a little extra time to travel to get to where you need to be. That is a look at your traffic. Now let's take a look at your forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Saturday, or Friday, excuse me, for today. Hot and humid, partly cloudy, highs in the upper 90s. The highest heat index will be around 104 by this afternoon. For this evening, partly cloudy, lows in the upper 70s. Heat index around 100 by early this evening. For Thursday, partly sunny, chance of showers and thunderstorms throughout the day, highs in the lower 90s. Thursday evening, cooler, mostly cloudy, chance of showers and thunderstorms throughout the evening hours and the overnight hours with a low in the upper 60s. And on Friday, partly cloudy with a high in the mid 80s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 83 degrees and clouds. Lambert Field is reporting the same. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. It's the best of the Wake Up Call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news and your weather in the 10 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU, your station for the issues that matter most to you.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Struggle against the common enemy of man, tyranny. poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal treatment.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number, 454-6609 is my fax, and my toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Any kind of, every kind of, all kinds of ways, get up, get to me. We have much to talk about. And don't forget, we are broadcasting live on the World Wide Web at www.wgnu.net. So anywhere from Xenia to Zimbabwe, you can catch us live on the World Wide Web. And my email address is Liz Brown, LizzBrown, at sbcglobal.net. They're my digits. Handle your business. Get to us. We have much to talk about this morning. I always feel like, you know, I should do this intermittent thing on my show, intermittently apologize and say, you know, there's very little good news out there. There's always something that we need to have a heads up on and address. And today, this morning, this hour is no exception. Unfortunately, we as a society have been taught to that we don't have our health in our own hands, that we have to rely upon the pharmaceutical industries to resolve and solve our issues, all of our issues, many of our issues, too many of our issues. My favorite example, of course, are the commercials that for antacids, where they show people eating incredible amounts of meat or spicy stuff or greasy, heavy stuff. And the commercial advocates that, you know, you eat these things, all you have to do is take this pill or swallow this medicine and you'll be able to quiet the gas or the acid in your system. And I can't help but think that, man, that's just backwards. If your body is responding with acid and gas, it's a warning cry from your body saying, don't put this in me. Don't put that stuff in me. And we live in a society that encourages us to do harm to our body and then take pharmaceuticals on top of that to deal with it. And on top of the reckless advocation of pharmaceuticals to solve our problems, we then have true needs that people have of some pharmaceuticals, and we find ourselves at a place that those pharmaceuticals aren't doing right by us either. Case in point, Vioxx. Tens of thousands of people with strokes. Hundreds of people have died. 700 lawsuits. And we live in a nation that says, oh, yeah, you can put that stuff back up on the shelf. You don't let people have that stuff.
not?
And we live in a nation that says, oh, yeah, you can put that stuff back up on the shelf. You don't let people have that stuff. What's going on? We need to talk about.
It's time now for Eye on the Loo. Redistricting, hand-picked school board members, up-and-coming elections, recalls.
That's right. Eye on the Loo. Good morning, Irene J. Smith.
Hey, Liz. Good morning. Good morning to your listening audience.
How you doing this morning?
I'm dragging.
Oh. All right. Well, let's pick it up. All right. Let's start with one. Since schools are in the issue, since school board elections are happening out here, since we know a lot about this topic, let's take this topic to Jefferson City with All Children Matters, because we talked a little bit about the voucher program, a lot about the voucher program last week. I want to continue on that with some specifics of money that people are getting. Okay.
All right.
But that's one of the things that I want to talk about, and I want to do that. But I think probably before we get to that, Irene, maybe let's do a little update from Jefferson City with Senator Coleman, because we had that's kind of a breaking news story. So let's start with the breaking news of the voter ID card in Jefferson City and the filibuster there, and a couple of other bills that are percolating through Jefferson City, because that's what's going to also get us to this All Children Matters issue too, because that's Jefferson City stuff.
All right, yes it is.
All right, so let's get to Senator Maida Coleman. Senator Coleman, good morning.
Thank you. Good morning, Liz, and good morning, Irene. Good to hear you.
Good morning, filibuster trooper.
Well, I always like to say, as long as I've got support holes, I can stand on this floor forever.
Well, let's talk about that. Bring our listening audience up to speed, Senator Coleman, about the issue that this filibuster is concerning.
The issue is the fact that Republicans want to put in place the mandate that everyone walks into a polling place with a photo ID. Not that we are against identification at the polls, because there you always have to provide identification to vote, but there are various forms of identification. The real issue also for me on this is the fact that this law would be in effect for the upcoming November election, which is just months away.
And when we talk about the impact of this, what this has on voters, Senator Coleman, if you don't mind, let me read you an email that I got from an individual about this issue. Dear Ms. Brown, I'm a 100% disabled veteran who votes via absentee ballot. Thanks to a recent change in the law, my wife can also vote absentee absentee as my caretaker. In order to get into the absentee program, I did not have to show any proof of identity or disability. My wife did not have to show proof of identity. For each vote, St. Louis County sends us applications which we sign and return, and they automatically send us our ballots. I think this system, which is totally without checks, is ripe for major fraud. Anyone in my family could vote in my wife's place or my place, even if we were dead. They could just forge our signatures on the application and get the ballots. I just checked with the election board this morning, and nothing has changed. Does the legislation that's introduced and being pushed by the Republican Party, does it address any of this person's concerns?
The issue with the absentee ballot is that if someone forges the signature, that signature must be identical to that person's signature. Now, you would have to do a lot of practicing and be a master, I think, in order to forge that signature, which must be approved by the Board of Elections in order for that ballot, that absentee ballot, to be counted.
So when they're sending in their ballot, somebody at the Board of Election is taking that signature and comparing it to the signature that they have on record of the original voter.
Exactly. Just as they do when you walk into a polling place with your voter ID card or with anything with your signature on it. In addition, you must sign the precinct book there in the presence of the poll worker in order to have your signature compared and to be given the ballot. The issue surrounding this, as you and I talked about it previously, if there were a lot of mechanisms in place to make the photo ID work, we might be more receptive to it.
But and if I could just back up just a little bit, the concerns that this emailer raises about nobody asking me for any ID, his concern about the signatures being forged, none of those issues, if they are real issues, and I believe that they are, but none of those issues, neither one of those issues are addressed by this legislation.
Oh, not at all.
Okay.
Not at all. Not the absentee voting at all.
And the thing that you were talking about yesterday, Senator Coleman, was the fact that this is that there are so many senior citizens that are going to be impacted by the requirement of this.
Our numbers range from 170,000 to 190,000, just under 200,000. We are asking our seniors to allow strangers to knock on their doors. They will come to nursing homes and be asked to take their photo ID. Now, I say asked, but remember, unless you have this photo ID, you will not be allowed to vote.
But and here's something else, Senator Coleman, that I thought of yesterday when I was talking to a caller that was supportive of this legislation. He was talking about that the photo IDs will eliminate some crimes, and it occurred to me that actually what it can do is create the possibility of more crimes from this perspective. If all of it takes is a Social Security card to get this photo ID, then people who didn't have a photo ID now have a state photo ID.
Yes.
With a fraudulent Social Security card. So now they can take that photo ID and cash checks. They can do a whole lot of things with a state-issued photo ID because they're not going to ask for the same requirements that it takes now to get a driver's license. You practically have to give blood now to get a driver's license.
Absolutely.
So they're lowering the standards of what it takes to get a state-issued ID card.
Well, look at it from this perspective. Because the numbers of people that are without that photo ID right now are mainly our disabled, our elderly, who sometimes have caretakers, as the person in the letter you read mentioned, they are ripe for theft, for all types of issues. They have cleaning people coming in. They have our relatives who may not be the most scrupulous people around. And now we force folks who haven't had to use photo identification for years to have their photo ID and be ripe for criminal activity happening to them.
Absolutely.
I want to mention something else about the photo ID. Take, for instance, that I've now, I should say, lost some weight, but I say I gained some weight. And from the way I look in my photo ID, are you now subjected to going there and having a poll worker look at your photo ID and look at you and say, well, your hair color's not the same, and you look a little plumper around the cheeks now than you do on this picture. Now, what do you have to do to additionally prove that you are who you are? Photo ID is not 100% accurate
either.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. It is not the panacea that they're saying that it is.
Not at all. And especially if you refuse to put in place mechanisms or a process by which this photo ID can be used, and getting that done and in time for the November election just won't work. In general, laws that are signed into effect are done so with the effective date being on August 28th. Unless there's an emergency clause, which means it goes into effect immediately upon the governor's signature, signing of it, we would have 2 months from August 28th, which is basically all of September and all of October, to get 190,000-ish people photo ID to vote.
And that's just the seniors. That doesn't include other people out here that don't have photo IDs.
Well, look at the college students that are on our campuses, those who go to the University of Missouri. One of the people, and not just University of Missouri, but one of the people who testified in a hearing that I attended, talked about the way now that you can go on these computer programs and alter any kind of ID. And on college campuses, kids sometimes want to be able to drink.
Mm.
And so they get fake IDs. Folks have been doing that since the beginning of time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they want that fake ID to get into clubs to be able to buy alcohol.
And you can be 18 to vote.
Absolutely.
Mm.
And so let me mention one other thing about this that has really caused some concern between myself and Senator Pat Doherty and Senator Harry Kennedy, the three representatives of the city of St. Louis. We are disturbed that our city of St. Louis Board of Elections commissioners decided to come to Jefferson City and testify on behalf of this bill.
They testified on behalf of it, but they didn't.
Additionally, when...
Did they talk to you before they took this position?
Additionally, when Senator Deborah Scott, the sponsor of this bill, stood on the floor the other night in debate with the three of us, he quoted and provided example of documents sent to him by St. Louis Board of Elections.
What?
Yes.
What?
Oh, yes. And so yesterday, I sent a letter as minority leader to the Board of Elections commissioners demanding under the Sunshine Law all answers to a bunch of questions that I had, and documentation that was provided to the Republican majority.
The city of St. Louis is an overwhelmingly Democratic
city.
Oh, yes. And the Board of Election Commissioners, who appoints them?
The governor does.
The governor appoints them. So they are sneaking records to the Republican majority in Jefferson City to justify this, and they're not giving it to their elected officials.
Did not feel it necessary. Yesterday, I had this letter faxed to the board and sent by certified mail to the chairman, Ed Martin, relative to my concerns. I did receive a call from Ed Martin last night. It was not a very long call, but basically he assured me that if we had asked, we would have been able to get the same information. Therefore, under the typical way things are run around here, not only in Jefferson City, but in politics in general, there's a professional courtesy that if you are represented by someone in Jefferson City, it might behoove you to have made a courtesy call and said, we have been requested to provide XYZ.
But wait, but there's not a Republican senator that represents anybody in the state, in the city of St. Louis.
Not in the city of St. Louis.
Not in the city of St. Louis. There's not a Republican anywhere.
Not anywhere.
Let me say this, Maddie. When we were researching this earlier on, there was a request that was sent to the St. Louis Election Board with respect to the fiscal impact of this legislation.
Mm-hmm.
And according to the information provided by the Secretary of State's website, the St. Louis Board of Election did not bother to respond to
how much
this would cost to implement. Mm-hmm. Yet, at the same time, you know, Republicans make a request to Mr. Martin, who is a Republican. He provides information and then does not provide that information to the senators that represent the city of St. Louis.
As a matter of fact, when Senator Scott stood on the floor, he opened a bound notebook.
A bound notebook?
Yeah, that he had had three holes punched to provide him documentation after documentation relative to problems with voting in the city of St. Louis. Which, by the way, there's plenty of other documentation around here that shows that in, for instance, Reynolds County, there are 150% more people certified in that town to vote than actually live in the county.
Did those Republicans get a bound copy from their Board of Elections about voter problems in Reynolds County?
Well, I won't claim that the city actually sent the black bound binder, but certainly it was enough material to go in a binder. And in case I did not mention, the Republican director was also here to testify in favor of the bill.
Mm-hmm. And here's the other piece of this, Senator Coleman.
What was the Democratic director for the St. Louis Board of Election? Did they appear?
Oh, no.
And that's interesting. And also the other piece of this is that the argument that you were making the other day, that your concern about this bill is that it's a, what did you call it, a
it's a two things. One, a the Voter Suppression Act and the Talent Protection Act.
The Senator Jim Talent Protect. This is a partisan issue. This isn't about trying to get at voter fraud or making certain that people are who they are. This is a partisan act.
Absolutely. If this was really about trying to make voting fair for everyone and accessible and easy, we would not be rushing it. Even the best laid plans cannot be put in place in 2 months.
And talk about the photographs of people not being able to vote in the city of St. Louis, the confusion that's going to happen on Election Day if this rule change is made with, 8 weeks of letting people know that this is a change? And it only applies to what areas? Does it apply all across the state?
It applies across the state, so those numbers I gave you are what is estimated that exist across the state. And the reason that this information is known is because you look at the number of registered voters in the state of Missouri and you compare that number of voters to who have driver's licenses. Mm-hmm. If they don't have driver's licenses, you know that they don't have state-issued photo ID.
Mm.
That's where we get those numbers from.
And I know a whole lot of people were calling yesterday, Senator. I know they were. I got calls from lots and lots of people that were calling Senator Gibbons, Senator Shields, and Senator Delbert Scott.
Mm-hmm.
Let me ask you this.
Let me hold that thought because we have to take a break.
All right.
We have to take a break. I'm talking to Senator Coleman. Of course, this is Eye on the Loo. I'm here with Irene J. Smith. We'll be back to continue this conversation and to take some of your calls at 454-0400, 1-877-920-WGNU. WGNU, stay with us.
You've been listening to the best of the Wake Up Call. Stick around for more following these messages. This is AM 920 WGNU.
I know the place to shop for all your appliance needs. Sears, 3425 Union, black owned and black operated, Jerome Williams.
Sears carries the top six appliance brands, Kenmore, Whirlpool, Maytag, GE, Amana, and Frigidaire. Sears also has the latest in electronics, TVs, VCRs, camcorders, and DVD players. Now, if you find a lower price on an identical branded item with the same features currently available at another local retail store, Sears will match that price plus give you 10% of the difference. That's the Sears Price Match Plus policy. So, save yourself a trip. Stop at Sears first and get a low price promise plus a great selection for your home and garden needs. It's all at your local Sears store right there at 3425 Union, Jerome Williams, 389-9700.
This is Phil Person of Person Roofing. I'd like to introduce to you one of my customers, Joe Scoggins. Mr. Scoggins, how long ago did we work on your property?
It was approximately 8 to 9 years ago, Mr. Persons.
Okay, have you had any problems with your roof since that time?
Well, actually, about 3 weeks ago, I called you, and there was some water damage that was caused as a result of the storm last fall.
Okay.
And you were out the following day to do the repair work, and it was done in such a professional way that I would recommend you to any and everyone.
So how much did we charge you?
It was free, and it was done within a matter of 3 hours.
All right.
So I called you one day, and you were out the very next day, you and your son and his assistant, and you went up on the roof, and you accomplished the task within a matter of 3 hours.
This is Phil Person of Person Roofing. Our service starts when we complete your roof. Our number is 361-7127. You can call us day or night. 361-7127.
I'm Karen Stewart. Join me on Sunday morning at 8 a.m. for Strategies for Building Wealth. This program will explore topics designed to help you better manage your finances, improve your net worth, and understand the basics of investing. So join me as we talk about strategies for building wealth, Sunday morning at 8 a.m. right here on WGNU.
Time to make your money work for you.
Summertime, and the living is easy, right? Not if you don't get your family reunion t-shirts done on time. Here's a tip. Call Robert Guy and Associates, 421-3200. They specialize in family reunion t-shirts and softball team t-shirts. In fact, Robert Guy and Associates will put together fabulous t-shirts for all occasions. Here's the address, 2006 Salisbury. The number is 421-3200. Robert Guy and Associates, your t-shirt specialist. And check this out. If you mention you heard this on the Liz Brown Show, you'll get 10% off. It doesn't get any better. 421-3200, Robert Guy and Associates.
The award-winning wake-up call, analyzing the story, shaping your world.
And now I'll take you back to the best of the wake-up call right here on AM 920 WGNU.
It's the information you need to know about but can't find anywhere else on the dial. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back, welcome back. This is Eye on the Loo. I'm here with Irene J. Smith. Irene, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Liz.
And our guest this morning is Senator Maida Coleman. We're talking about the battle in Jefferson City over this ID card legislation. And Irene, you had a question.
It's my understanding, Senator Coleman, that the examples that were given by the St. Louis Board of Election commissioners, these are examples of fraud that was caught. Isn't that correct?
Yes, absolutely. As a matter of fact, let me give you the real issue with these things. First of all, there has been no documentation of any convictions on people committing fraud when they come to the board, when they come to a polling place to vote. As a matter of fact, when the current governor was the Secretary of State, Matt Blunt, in specifically referring to the City of St. Louis elections, said that the 2004 election and the 2002 elections were fraud-free. And therefore, they're already talking about, since everybody always wants to use St. Louis as the example where the worst things happen, they're already saying that there were no problems here in St. Louis. And these were things that were caught before people even went to vote. As a matter of fact, the former employee, Tina Carter, is the one who found or were made aware of these registration cards. So it's actually the registration area of voting where the problems show up.
So if the people are caught, then the system is working.
Absolutely. Let me give you an example that Deborah Scott gave on the floor the other night, which I still can't figure out. He says that when Trixie the dog or a dead person has registered to vote, obviously whoever registered them intends to show up on election day and vote.
Well,
as that person.
Has Trixie the dog shown up to vote?
Or Lorraine the cat.
Or Lorraine the
exactly.
cat. I mean,
so
if that's the logic, then there must be the proof out there that Trixie the dog voted.
That's
show
right.
us the proof.
You know,
show us the proof.
One letter he read from a woman in St. Louis was that a voter registration person came to her door and said they showed that XYZ person lives here, and the woman said, well, I'm sorry, but he's now deceased. So the poll worker said, well, can you dig him up to do this? Well, that poll worker had to have been kidding. Everybody would come and says, and without a look, come and says, knows that if a person has died, you can't dig them up so they can go to the poll and work.
And that also, if that poll worker said that.
Yeah.
I think one of the biggest problems with the St. Louis Board of Election Commissioners is that they don't purge their records. I mean, I have sent back cards, and just, I guess, in the last several years, they no longer send a card to a person who hasn't lived in the house that I now own in 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
So the problem is that is respect to how they manage their records.
But the bottom line is there is no evidence of anybody who registered to vote as a dead person or as Trixie the dog has never voted, and that's what we're concerned about, right?
That's right. How could a dog walk in and vote?
And they haven't.
When Matt Blunt was Secretary of State, he was in charge of investigating such things, and he never uncovered or prosecuted any person for voting for a dead person or an animal.
And he was certainly motivated to dig up a dead person.
Absolutely.
That had voted.
Well, you know, based on the fact that the Democrats, as he said, lives where no one else wants to.
That's what he said.
And the assault on the city of St. Louis, certainly if dead people or dogs were voting, he had 4 years as Secretary of State to find it.
That's right, with a governorship ambition in his head and heart.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So no one they cannot name, and this question was asked on the floor, can you name, Senator, one person who has ever been charged with and convicted for voting for a dead person? And the answer is no. So the problem here is not walking into a polling place and presenting your photo ID. We believe that the problem is on the way by which voter registration is conducted. And if you are employing unemployed people or people part-time to go out there and register people and say, we will give you $3 or however much is offered for every person you register, then certainly people in need of money are going to be motivated to cheat. And that happens in any line of work in any area.
But that's why you have workers at the Board of Elections to dig that out. That's
Absolutely.
What their job is.
Absolutely.
I
that's
mean,
their job, and that's why it was called.
You don't make people drop urine. You don't make people give blood samples or a DNA test when they go to cash a check.
Absolutely.
Because it's too onerous to do that. Because what you do is you have tellers and people that are trained to catch that stuff before it happens.
Absolutely. I want to make one really big example for you. Right now, based on our voting laws, when a person goes to a polling place and wants to vote, if they don't have their voter registration card or something such as a utility bill with their name and address on it, if they are known by a poll worker that poll worker can grant them the ability to go ahead and vote.
That's right.
If you've been going to the same polling place for 30 years, or as some of our elderly has been going for many, many years, who grow up in the same house and then marry and continue to live there, they can be given that opportunity. Under this bill, photo identification is the only way that you can vote. So if Mrs. Jones, who has been voting in this polling place for 30 years or 20 years, and there's the same poll workers, because in my precinct, there's the same people that has been working there year after year, election after election. Mrs. Jones would not be allowed to vote, even though everybody in that place could know her, because she did not come in with her photo ID. She would be able to vote or sign an affidavit which allows her to vote provisionally, which means we're going to take your ballot right now. We're going to allow you to provisionally have your ballot taken, but you still must now go out and get your photo ID and come back and prove to us that you are who you say you are.
All this does, Senator Coleman, is ensure that there will be fewer people voting than there have been in prior elections.
This is a typical rushed attempt at passage of this law in time for the 2006 elections, which guarantees that Missourians will show up with no knowledge of this new law and no photo ID and be turned away.
So what's the status right now?
The status is that the Republicans are trying to regroup. And
so your filibuster was successful.
My filibuster was successful, and obviously
your support host worked out.
There was no plan, because I guess the assumption was that we would accept this November 2006 date, and that is just never going to happen. As a matter of fact, it's quoted quite often around here by those supporting this legislation that the Carter-Baker Commission, which was a commission headed by former President Jimmy Carter and Secretary of State James Baker, it's highly quoted around here about putting this into effect. But what's happening is that these folks here are ignoring the cautions that were put forth by the Carter-Baker Commission, which says the start-up date across the United States should not occur before 2010.
And also it gives 10 years to implement it.
Absolutely, it gives 10 years to implement. So, and we give 2 months.
So where – 8 weeks. eight weeks. So where? What should we expect now, Senator?
Well, we don't know if the Republicans will bring this back or not. Because this is the Talent Protection Act, there's got to be another way to come forth with making sure that this happens. We will continue to be prepared for whenever it comes back.
Senator Coleman, I want to thank you.
I want to thank you. But before you go, Senator Coleman, because I have been stopped on the street, in the restaurants, at the pie, and asked, is Senator Coleman going to run for license collector? Deadline is quickly approaching. So I certainly would like you to let our listening audience know whether or not you're going to run for a license collector.
Well, let me tell you this. Filing does not close until 5 p.m. on March 28th. So I still have a little over a week and a half. What I am doing right now is fully assessing that office. One thing, do I really want to leave the Senate now and come and run for license collector? But even more so than that, having all my support and my funding in place in order to do this. See, people always hear about what people have. You're quick to announce who's with you and what you have. But as long as you can't announce who you don't have, there's some other things going on. So I will say at this point that there is still a distinct possibility that I will run for license collector, and I'm carefully weighing all the options. And if I'm in St. Louis on Tuesday, March 28th, instead of in Jefferson City, that's your answer.
There's a white candidate that has entered into the race, so the math is a little different now than it started out.
It is a little different, and I would venture to say this. A lot of people have knocked me because they feel that it's my responsibility to the world that I should not come out and go after this because a black candidate has already announced. Well, my theory was that whether I run or not, somebody white always was going to. I believe in public service. I have wanted to do nothing but help people. I feel that I'm best qualified in life to work on behalf of others. I do not believe that I should give up my desire to be a public servant because somebody else of my same race is interested in this seat.
No one has an entitlement to any of these.
Absolutely.
Things.
You know, I have to go out there just like everybody else and work hard to convince the voters that I am just as qualified and ready to take this responsibility. I have a right, just like anybody else, just like the white candidate does, to run for this seat. Nobody owns anything in St. Louis, and I'll tell you, nothing infuriates me more than somebody telling me what I can or cannot do.
And that's got to be the last word because we've got to take a break. And I want to thank you so much, Senator Coleman.
Thank you, Senator Coleman.
Listen,
thanks,
folks,
so much.
We're taking a break. I'm Liz Brown. This is the Eye on the Lou. I'm here with Irene J. Smith. Stay with us.
You're listening to the best of the wake-up call. Stick around for more following these messages.
People, have you heard about Golden Grocer Natural Market? It's locally owned and operated for over 30 years and serving and meeting your health needs by ensuring the best quality and selection in vitamin supplements and organic groceries. Golden Grocer Natural Market has the largest loose herb selection around. You can also get your grains and natural beauty items as well. Their staff is friendly, knowledgeable, and committed to helping you on your journey to improved and enhanced health. Golden Grocer believes that the healthiest goal is achieving balance in every area of your life. So, live your life like it's golden, and let Golden Grocer help you along the way. Golden Grocer, Natural Market, 335 North Euclid, right there in the Central West End. Open 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., Monday through Saturday, and Sunday, 12 to 5. Golden Grocer, 367-0405. That's 367-0405.
Are you an inventor, or do you know an inventor who would like to attempt to have an invention or idea patented and submitted to industry? Well, for free information on how to proceed, call this toll-free number.
Call 800-346-9966.
InventHelp, one of America's largest invention companies, has inventor information you can have for free. Record your invention's date of origination, plus get an information brochure and other materials of interest to new inventors. Learn how to get this free information just by calling this toll-free number.
Call 800-346-9966. That's 1-800-346-9966.
Even if you have an idea for improving an existing product and don't know where to go with it, you'll want this free inventor's information. It shows how InventHelp may assist you in trying to patent your invention and submit it to industry. So call InventHelp right now, toll free.
Call 800-346-9966. That's 1-800-346-9966.
Later today on WGNU's Sloan Ranger program, the Sloan Ranger talks with Carl Bernstein, Pulitzer Prize-winning Watergate reporter and author of the best-selling Hillary Clinton biography, A Woman in Charge. Don't miss Carl Bernstein this afternoon at 5:30 on the Sloan Ranger with Lloyd Sloan. Only right here on AM 920 WGNU. ConnectCare, still connected to the community. Sometimes it seems like things are changing so fast that it's hard to keep up and hard to keep track. At ConnectCare, we want you to know that, yes, there have been some changes, and yes, we are still connected to the community.
At Connect Care, we still have a retail pharmacy open 8 to 5 Monday through Friday. At Connect Care, we still provide transportation to patients that qualify. At Connect Care, we still provide access to in-house laboratory services. At Connect Care, we still provide some of the region's best board-certified doctors. At Connect Care, we still provide urgent care. And at Connect Care, we still see patients on a sliding fee scale. Yes, changes have been made at Connect Care, but we're still connected to you. Connect Care, still connected to the community.
This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Join me weekday afternoons from 2 to 4 on AM 920 WGNU. And I look forward to hearing from you. If you have problems with a personal, work, or family relationship, call me at 1-800-DR-LAURA. That's 1-800-DR-LAURA for the issues that matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU. And for the personal issues that matter most, join me, Dr. Laura, now from 2 to 4 every weekday afternoon. Then go do the right thing.
Hi, I'm Randy Grimm.
And I'm Lisa Chan.
Join us Fridays from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. for Animal Tales on AM 920 WGNU.
Randy and I discuss the issues that matter most to you and your animal companions,
such as animal welfare and environmental issues,
and answer your questions about pet care. It's 2 hours of fur, friends, and fun every week with me, Lisa Chan.
And me, Randy Grimm. That's Animal Tales.
Fridays from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. on AM 920 WGNU.
Woof.
Be in the know as you're on the go with Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
And a long and difficult struggle.